Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2. Sugarman Shinobi is the legendary underground toy dealer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is sleeping.
Hello, welcome to our Season 2, Episode 37.
Banana Boom Time.
Go boom. The boom and the booming and the booming and the stop and the booming.
The monkey
intro, Pato 2.
The monkey was just all, and I'm like, you're so into, and then I cried.
And then there was Sally chunks everywhere.
No. Wow, I actually fabricated fake tears. Give me. Right. Yes.
Just saying.
Pika.
I know, Pikachu's upset too.
Yup.
When you go in the game and you turn around and talk to Pikachu, it's probably crying.
That's exactly
what
happened.
A little, like, thought bubble of Sally's face. True facts.
I was just holding down the scroll button on the DVR box remote and didn't even realize it.
Good job.
Lol. Cool story, bro.
I was wondering why it kept scrolling, and I was like, oh wait, I'm holding the button.
Just to toss out there right now. Standing by.
That was absolutely perfect timing. Fies is with us today.
Be sure to go answer the podcast question on Facebook, which might be also running on the RAM boards next time we do it. I don't know yet.
It might be gay.
But we'll be reposting that on the day this goes up. So if you answered it already, don't answer it again. But if you haven't, go ahead and answer it in the new one.
It will become the old Facebook one, and RAM boards matter. Question of the biweekliness?
Something like that.
Yes, very long titles. I love it.
Make some acronyms and stuff. And as always, keep sending in the podcast questions, but we'll get to that once we cover this week's podcast questions. So, anyway, time for the one-ups.
Onesies.
One-ups.
It's not going to happen, Gretchen, damn it. World's only person making a Mean Girls reference.
I'm a mean girl.
Bad girl.
I'm going to have to teach Brian how to do this properly. I don't know. All I know is that you should get started with the one-ups while it's still daylight savings time over here.
Okay. Man, I guess. Dude, Pikachu?
Oh, yeah, because I couldn't have Mario Kart on.
I turned it up for a brief second so you could hear that beautiful voice, like an angel.
Pikachu.
You only turned it up for that and evolutions.
That's all. So, anyway, really not anything big going on as of late.
As usual.
So let's see. On the 20th, I was hunting around.
Shit.
And I found the Shogun Buckle and the Thundercats Tiger Flyer, so I picked those up.
Thundercats.
That means that Brian finally found a samurai toy before Dawson.
Yes.
Took the length of the show.
Fortunately, there was no challenge out.
I pressed the button to make samurai noises, except mine's on the other side of the room, and I don't feel like getting up, so... Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
And then I was out...
Zoot.
On Sunday. Yeah. And I picked up the Armor of Omens, because ooh, shiny. That was the only
exactly.
reason I really
That's what
needed
it. I thought, I'm like, should I give this? Oh my god, it glared. I gotta buy it.
It glared.
It glinted light into my eye.
Like, ooh, shiny! And then today, I decided to be a little bit late for class and go to Walmart first.
Boys are way more important than school. We know this already.
It was only 5 minutes, and he didn't even start yet, so I was in the clear. But
did you walk in there with the Bull Megazord?
No, I should have.
That would have been fantastic.
But yeah, spoilers. I got the Bull Megazord finally.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my god.
That would have been epic. Why are you late for class, Brian? Holds up giant Bull Megazord. I had to go buy this.
Just pull it out of your backpack.
My gut instinct told me that Walmart would have it, and they did, and I don't regret it one bit.
Now stop pressuring me about it.
So that's pretty cool. The only thing I still haven't found are the Mega Bloks, the new Mega Block sets and little individual packs and stuff. But I think the only places people found those are Targets, right?
Wait, yeah, that's the only place I've seen it.
Okay. Yeah, my Target still has, like, shit in the Mega Block section, so... Gotta keep an eye out for those, because I want those too, but I have to wait for Google Money. What?
Leonbo's being attention hog.
Oh, okay.
Center of truth.
What?
And when I get some of my Google Money and stuff, I'm probably going to go buy the Mumra's Battle Cruiser Storm... Whatever the fuck it's called. Is it Storm Chaser?
No. It could be.
I think it is. I don't remember. But
Mountain
there's
Blaster,
there's that, and then there's the Deluxe Claw Shield
DX
that I'm probably going to get just to review and have and strap to my hand because it probably fits.
Ryan can role play as Lionel.
Open hands.
I can be Lionel. It'll be awesome. But, yeah. That's about all. Playing video games, doing homework, doing reviews, yada yada. That's how it rolls.
That's how we roll in the Shire.
Yep.
Yep.
That's how we roll.
I see what you did there.
Hey!
Our hive mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn. While Brian sucks on a bottle. So I also went out for my hunts. Brian, like you said, beat me to the Shogun Buckle. My first actually finally found today. But I did find the Bull Megazord first and challenge completed and stuff like that. I did find those little Mega Blocks. I got the three ones that come with, like, the cockpits.
Lol.
And then I bought a bunch of those random packs, and most of them were pink. So I'm taking a few back because I poked holes in them. I'm like, you're pink. Taking you back. I'm still waiting for a bunch of boxes. I was sad nothing got here today. Let's see what else. I don't think there's been any other purchases. I've gotten to play a bit
shut
of...
Shut up and go away.
No. I'm done telling my story. And I'm all sad because Magneton's not a steel type in this game. Anyway, speaking of...
I'm using fire and it's not super effective. Damn it.
I've played a little bit of Skyrim, but most of my time lately video game-wise has been sucked up by Pokemon Yellow. I finally decided to pick it up again because I got stuck trying to catch stupid Snorlax. And then I decided
Snorlax.
I've been on like a major Pokemon kick lately. And I just like, hey, this isn't finished. I should probably start this before I... Or finish this before I start a new white file or something. Or I don't know. But yeah, that's about
I
all.
I love Lamp.
Just getting my... Stocking up on tissues for the Chuck finale. That's about it. It's going to be a tearjerker.
Why does it have to end, Awesome?
I don't know. They should just fire everyone on GH and make it Chuck Life to Live, and it'll just be Chuck and the Todds. Jeff's like, fuck my life! Said Todd.
No! Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, after literally a month in the mail system, my second Mandarake box has arrived. And as many of you have now seen at this point in time, in my vlog, I can fully reveal to everyone here that I bought Kintaro's Imogen finally. Yay!
Man, that was a shocker.
No. He's an Imogen, not a shocker.
Whoa! And stuff.
And I also got the Zex Trooper figure art and Super Robot Shogokins that are out for the Sentai Mech. And they're pretty cool. I just have to review them. So for now, they're like fun statues that are standing there like little Nazi soldiers or something. I don't know, something Dawson has. Little Nazi soldiers. And, wait, where am I? Alright, so, anything else happened? Did we buy anything? Did I buy anything?
I bought Figma Samus.
Alright, shut up. And, I'm gonna take that as a no. Yeah, I don't think actually that I've done anything else worthwhile with my life, but that's normal. I'm still trying to get everything beaten on Mario Kart, and it's pissing me off. Of course, I quit for a while, but still, that's beside the point.
How about that Pokemon?
I'm going to have you raped and murdered and then quartered to the stake.
Well.
Does that, how about that? That answer your question about some Pokemon, Dawson? Huh? You like that?
Almost,
that
a little make, bit. A little make, more thorough explanations.
Does that make you feel good inside? Making fun of a poor defenseless animal?
What? I'm just confused, and I'm going to go back to riding my bike.
You're riding? Oh, I see. You're riding the bike in the game, which you cannot
I'm not playing a game.
Stomach.
I'm being professional. Whoops.
This is RR. There is nothing professional about us. Oh, you bastard. You blew me up with a bomb. I meant in real life, not on a game, because I would never play a game during a podcast. All right, so our first news story up here is going to be that the AU Cougar is in Superhero Tyson ? Ooh, this sounds like fun. So it says, after the release of the first teaser, because we did get a first release, for the much-awaited Superhero Tyson or Kamen Rider vs. All Super Sentai movie, more possible details about the movie were posted in a couple of ACTA blogs.
ACTA.
Ryota Murai, who plays Yusuke Onodera, a.k.a. AU Kamen Rider Kuga, talked about a certain filming where it was cold. Big news.
Big news.
It was cold in January.
Oh, my God.
In addition,
oh my God,
Kimito
no way. It was cold
Kotani,
in January.
Who plays Daiki Kaito, a.k.a. Kamen Rider The End, also talked about the weather in a post. Oh, shit. As for Tsukasa Kadoya, a.k.a. Kamen Rider DK himself, Masahiro Inoue posted that they are filming in Ibaraki. The temperature is around -5 to 0 degrees Celsius.
A.k.a. Fucking cold.
Exactly. He complains about it being too cold and not wearing enough clothes.
Damn it, DK, we told you not to go nude.
That gets me all hot and bothered. Masahiro specifically mentions that it's for Kamen Rider and that it's almost finished in terms of filming. Three Roid is talking about the weather at the same time.
This is what we were talking about.
Coincidence? I think not. Could this mean that we will have AU Kuga for Superhero Tyson? Also in the right is a picture of Ryota Ozaka, a.k.a. Captain Marvelous,
a.k.a.
Gokai Red in the film in sight.
Cool.
This sounds like fun and entertainment for all. So are we going to talk about this Onodera Yusgank?
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of figured it was a no-brainer. That he'd be in the movie, so
it makes sense the rest of the DK cast would be in there. What about the other one? You know, the chick.
Natsumi?
Yeah,
Jesus?
I think she was already confirmed to be in the movie, so.
Like, so it makes sense that the whole DK cast would be in there. It would be awkward.
Natsuki better be in there.
I don't know who Taki is.
Or whatever his name is.
Onore Fose!
Because Natsumi is fun to look at, so she better be in there.
Plus, she can transform again and give Bandai another excuse to make the figure out sooner.
Yeah. Damn it, Leambo, sit in the corner. That's it.
I mean, we're getting floozy in June, so I demand Kivala.
I know. I don't even need floozy, but I'm going to get floozy, but... Which, actually, Brian, I don't think that's in our news stories. We could mention that.
I just did.
I didn't mean... I meant, like, all those figures, not just Floozy. Figure at Zero Barnaby and...
Well, there you go, you just did.
Yay! They're coming quickly, like Ryan always does.
Yep.
Moving along.
My turn?
Who are you?
Yeah, go for it. I mean...
Okay, man, this is an even more exciting story than three combat actors talking about the weather. We may have Gintaro tweeted about his beep. Can you believe it? Damn it, Clyde. Standing by, we get it. Let's see. He said that Gintaro's beep finally appeared. I think it's his dick. Or chest hair. I know that there's sparse on the chest hair over there. And this means Gintaro's pants will be revealed. It seems pretty obvious that beep means Gintaro's pants. Oh. I got that whole article wrong. And a number of fans of Forze have been, or I guess so, have mentioned tweets about it. They said that they, on the same date as his posts, they saw a mysterious beep finally appeared. This morning we were filming Forze at a motorcycle store. It seems it's going to be called Kisaragi Motors. That'd be funny if it was just a coincidence. Like, I saw somebody, I think it was, Willie J. Coe or something? He posted something about he saw Fize Electronics or something.
Yeah. So I responded that there's a Basha Diagnostics right across the street.
That's fantastic.
Every time I was going, Basha Magnum.
And then we had another fan tweeting, says, Forze is being filmed at Saitama Super Arena. I couldn't see properly since I saw everything from the female toilet on the 32nd floor. I was in there masturbating. The monster was red. I saw some sparks and Forze was defeated. Yes! Forze had a red and yellow weapon-like item.
Wait. You were doing what where?
I wasn't doing it.
Oh, I'm so I zoned out. That's all I heard.
He was masturbating in the women's bathroom.
So this,
well, who doesn't? But
this opens up huge spoilerific questions. Does this mean Gintaro's family lives in a motor shop? Who knows? I don't know. What do you do when there's inclement weather? What do you wear? I don't know. I think his dad's John Travolta, and they're all greasers, and he lives with the T-Birds, and they're like, oh, Grease Lightning, and insert all those jokes and stuff.
Go, Grease Lightning!
Right.
I just want to know more about this bathroom. That's what I want to know. Is there space to hide under the toilet?
Fuck, I forgot who they're changing to.
Hide under the toilet?
Hides like, under the toilet? How's he hiding? And he's so big.
He's so tall.
Hide under the toilet sounds like a documentary.
Hide under the toilet. Coming soon to a HBO near you.
Oh, God. It's just simply too much.
They'll put anything on there. Even Brian.
Hell yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I think it's interesting to see the potential of his parents in the show.
Yes, I mean, if they're going to have the same kind of hair.
He never saw his parents. Oh my god, that'd be great. Both his mom and dad have the same hair.
I hope that happens. I really do.
That would be fantastic.
I mean, it would make no sense, but it'd be hilarious.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's really about it. Like, a motorcycle place, I guess, works, really, because he does kind of go off of that whole greaser vibe.
Yeah. Look at his dirt face in this picture. Damn it, I hate him. Away from me.
Plus, he did just get on the back of a motorcycle, like, day one and just ride it like a champion, so he had to have learned somewhere.
Like a boss.
No? Yeah, no, not him.
Which is another thing that I was confused
with. Like a douche.
Like a douche.
There's never any explanation as to why they can all just ride motorcycles like a pro.
Well, Hibiki-san is Hibiki-san, and Shoichi-kun is Shoichi-kun.
Hibiki had to learn.
Yeah.
Hibiki was the only legit one.
Legit? He was like, a legit
He's like,
noob.
I don't know how to ride these stupid mechanical things.
Well, the bosses said that Kamen Rider is supposed to ride bikes because the fans are mad, so... Sorry. Dang it. Ooh, Blast Ice Grill.
Dang
level.
It. Now I have to be like Ibuki and ride a bike.
Ibiki.
Bike.
Be a good Ibiki rider.
Bikey.
Thumbs Let's up. See. I need to level up.
What's next? Are we dead?
Anything else?
No.
Nope.
Not really.
I like superhero time.
Yep, too bad that's tomorrow. So
spoilers.
What? Oh god. No.
Don't give away our secrets. Bam, edit. Damn, I forgot I don't have BAM edit powers.
BAM edit!
Let's talk to you, random civilian. Wah! I'm scared. Okay, that's what she has to say. She's in self-control.
So we have four little samurai, or three little, I can't count, samurai stories going on here. The first one is basically just reconfirmation that she finally admitted, she being Kim Crossman, that
the
she
hot
is...
chick?
Yeah, the hot chick. Is indeed going to be the female Red Ranger in Samurai. So
hells to the yeah.
Really nothing new there, just official confirmation straight from her that she is, so hoorays and stuff.
Yay and stuff.
Next up, we have a message from Paul Schreier from his Facebook. So he said,
saying, I love being awesome. Oh, wait, no, that's
me. So, I visited my pals at Saban Brands to watch the Super Samurai...
Hero Time?
Combining Super Ninjas with Super Samurai. Super Samurai
premiere with the Corp crew. I don't know who they are. And the toy team showed me designs for two bulk toys coming out soon. No, yay! Not ridiculously articulated Samurai action figures, but still pretty awesome. What are they? Well, I can't say right now, but they are coming, and they are awesome! And they're not Bandai. Drop them like they're bulk.
Maybe it's a bulk plush.
I'd buy it. Something fell.
Figure arts mishap?
Oh, God.
Fuck my life. Fuck my life. No one has a figure arts mishap in the podcast.
Oh, my God. I just watched it happen, and I could do nothing to stop it.
I heard it. Intruder spotted.
Oh,
God. Is that the intruder that knocked over Kevin's figures?
Yes. It is. They have the music with them. Start crying live. Are you getting this?
Oh, God, what happened? What did I do to deserve this?
Dude, this is like the 15th time these things have fallen over.
What are you doing with your life?
I don't know what's wrong with them. Oh, Brian! I think I'm gonna go in the corner and kill myself.
Bye-bye!
I'll be back in a little while.
So, Kiefer here speculates that they are Squinkies and Mega Bloks figures. Which makes the most sense.
I want plush bulk, damn it.
Oh, you can't get it. You'll get like 8 pinks.
It says Paul also mentioned that Spike will be getting a figure too. I don't know which one, but not, I mean, like Squinky or Mega Block or whatever. But hell, these could just be stylized figures of some sort. I have no idea, but he's getting some figures, so if you like bulk, then.
I want bulk and Spike plushies.
Keep wishing there.
I want a squeezable bulk.
Oh, God.
Lastly, we have two pictures here of Bulk decked out in some, like, Shogun Samurai armor. And the first picture...
What kind of accent is that?
Looks like some sort of dream sequence or something, which looks really cool, though. He looks like a badass. Then the second is like a behind-the-scenes set picture, and he's just on the back of like this Humvee or something. So could these images be related to the 90% Bulk and Spike episode that Paul mentioned like forever ago? Or are they part of yet another Bulk's wild dream sequences?
Or
will
both?
We finally see the Shinken Brown episode of Shinken adapted, rather. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, .. Yes, we shall.
Oh, man.
It looks pretty badass, though.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, it's bulk. Oh, good times. And then, lastly, we have some toy...
All the Kabuto riders are dead! Half the Kugas. Why, Brian? They didn't do anything to anyone.
It's because you just told me you only had a couple more to put up.
G3X died too.
No! Hikamakun!
Agito's gone.
Don't worry about such a small thing.
Shoichi-kun was Shoichi-kun.
I missed that show now. Brian, can you rewatch Agito instead?
Okay. Well, he's dead.
Oh my God, there's a bird. And then the race started. Race start. Magnemite, you're not weak to fire anymore.
So anyway.
But he doesn't have levitate either to make ground moves miss.
They didn't have abilities back then.
Man, we had to deal with such hardships. We should seriously get medals.
So thanks to Mario Mario Ranger of Ranger Board. That's a lot of Rangers.
Mario Power.
He is apparently
gay.
He claims to be an intern of Bandai of Europe.
I don't believe you.
And has seen an intern presentation revealing upcoming samurai toys. So we'll see whether this holds true or not.
I want to be an intern at Bandai.
So he says that there's going to be a Bullzooka, which is the Mogu Bazooka, obviously.
Oh, okay.
That can combine with the Mega Blade to form the Shogun Spear. So, yay, I guess.
What about the Gokai Spear?
And includes the Bullzooka disc. It can also combine with the Spin Sword and the Black Box, just like the
I heard that it's Bullzooka dick.
Now, wait, Brian, I have a very important question, though. What? Can it combine with the Shinkeno?
I think it can. Just stick it on top of there and...
You stick it in? Okay.
Yep.
Can do.
Second, we have the Scorpion Zord with Decker figure. some sort of new American exclusive Zord that can combine with the Samurai Megazord and not the Shinkeno. But Samurai Megazord to form a new right hand and helmet. Woo.
Just waits for a reaction. Sitting here fighting a macho. Sorry.
Next up, we have the Gigazord Super Set. A gift set of 11 Zords that can combine.
Ultimate Gigazord.
Gigazord. The Zords included will be slightly different versions than the separately released ones.
Oh, great.
Disney Store exclusive. Oh,
planned to release in Europe this Christmas.
Europe. What about America?
Shrugs. Another interesting bit of information that Mario Ranger shared was that Europe will be using the new Super Samurai logo on the packaging of later Samurai toys, unlike Bandai of America, who are still using the regular Samurai logo.
Oh, well, they're a bunch of bastards, aren't they?
And then, speaking of Europe, the UK had their toy fair, and they're basically getting all the same shit that we are.
Screw the UK.
If you live in the UK and you're worried about not getting anything, don't worry about it, because you are.
So it's fine. It's gonna be fine, bro.
But the link that Jeff shared has a picture of this Pikachu, and behind it you can see the Super Samurai logo and stuff. But no one cares about that because there's Pokemon here.
Pikachu.
And apparently Europe gets like domestic releases of the Pokemon Kids figures, and I'm kind of jealous.
Kid?
Those little like finger puppet ones. They're like. Just little PVC figures, and they got.
So basically, you're putting your finger in the butt of a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Brian wants to do Pokemon
I want to do that.
But they're all little and cute.
I want to put my finger in a Pokemon's butt.
They've got some figures here. I don't know what these ones are exactly.
Love how nobody spoke after that. That was good.
Sorry. I'm fighting Rattata. I mean, I'm not playing a game. Or watching White Collar.
Basically, there's all this Pokemon stuff, and I want them.
Bryce Larkin!
And Riker, the guy that beat up Sarah. You're a jerk!
How about Pokemon?
Brian's like, Pokemon! And I'm sitting here playing
Gotta
Pokemon.
Catch 'em, it's you and me. I know it's my destiny, Pokemon. Oh, you're my best friend. In a world we must defend.
My life.
Pokemon!
Yeah.
Gotta catch 'em, don't you?
Nope. Guess not.
Courage will pull us through. You teach me
like
and I'll teach you. Pokemon.
Just think of the figure arts falling over. Shut him up.
Why?
Why? The Decker Zord is probably...
Does it hurt anyone?
I figured. Fuck my life.
They didn't do anything to anyone. They were just sitting there, minding their own business.
It's pretty loud.
That ninja came and just disturbed them all and knocked them over, and now they're dead. They're dead. They've been taxidermized by Chuck Testa.
What about ninja games?
Ninja Gaiden?
Ninja Jesus?
Okay.
Where am I?
Your room.
Where's Brian?
Anyway, I was going to say, this Scorpion Zord with Decker is probably a result of Bandai trying to figure out what the fuck to do with 2 years.
Yeah,
pretty
much.
So I think if anyone had any questions about anything from Shink Engine being released, I think it's just an automatic yes, because they're just going to run out of shit to come up with. We'll probably get a Karu figure. We'll get a Karu Mega Mode figure. Oh my god, that's a new way of asking for a Karu. Karu Mega Mode version. Yes!
Bam. That's when we have a giant staff call.
Karu Mega Mode.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be legendary.
But I'm supposedly pictures. He's gonna be allowed to show pictures on Friday or something. Supposedly.
I still don't think 100%.
Go baby Nate.
I don't think I'll be able to properly link the podcast link to one with pictures. So just be on the lookout for those pictures. We might talk about this again next episode if the pictures are worth talking about.
Look, I need to know, will those pictures be naked pictures?
Why?
The Mega Blade combining with the Bulzooka is pretty cool.
That'd be funny if they really did all combine with it. Like,
yeah,
all
that'd be pretty cool. Like,
they need to let me know, so I need to know if I can buy that clearance spin sword that's at my Walmart.
Like I said, I think it'd be funny if like you had just a normal Mogi Bazooka setup with the sword and the black box and everything, and then you just stick the Mega Blade like at the bottom, and it's just like this giant bayonet.
Why?
Running, going.
By hell.
And I hope this Gigazord set, like, there isn't that big of a difference.
Yeah, so we don't feel tempted in any way. It's like, if it's Black Gold Edition, I'm screwed.
Oh, if it's a Black Gold Edition, I'm buying it. But some people are speculating that it's going to be a Microzord set.
Oh.
Which I'd probably end up getting if that was the case, because those things were pretty neat.
I used to get those, yeah. But
why?
Why is Venusaur losing to a Golbat? I have no fucking clue. Probably he's not paying much attention.
Grass is weak to poison?
He's not using poison, though. Using Bite and Confuse Ray.
Yeah, plus Venusaur's part poison. That's not...
Oh, right.
Drowsy.
It's going to cancel it out.
IDKF.
Fuck my life.
IDK my BFF Jill.
Wait, what's that from?
It's from a commercial.
Oh. You're right.
Okay, now that that's over.
Superhero time starts tomorrow.
No. I have nothing left to live for.
Well, I could do the summary now and just discuss Forza with myself.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Alright, so now it's time for...
Super Shiltai!
Kamen Rider! Forza! Eh? Alright, we're on episode 47. It's winding down, folks. We just got the last of the Great Powers last episode. All that stuff is to collect the 5 from Basco Tejolokokia, or whatever. So, this starts off and they're like, hey, we need to find
that
Basco. Hey! And they're like, we don't know where he is. And so I'm like, we could just call him. That seems reasonable. And then Marvelous is like, fine. And then apparently he's got him on speed dial. And,
I'm aware it took caller ID.
Yeah. And then Basco's got caller ID, and he's like, ah, Marvy, let's do it. And they're like, ew. And then he releases his last two roids out of Sally, Goldroid and Sunroid or something. And they're like, oh, shit. So they get Goju, Jin, and Gokaio, and they're like, hey.
God damn it, Chug TV, don't say that to me. It makes me want to watch it more. Sorry. Yes, I'm done.
Okay. And so they're like, let's fight. And then they're fighting, and they're doing things, and they get the Triple Drill Dreams and the Magic Gokaios, the Deca Gokaios, and then finally the Go Kanzen Gokaio things. And meanwhile, Basco's like, oh crap, what am I going to do? I know. I'll shoot Sally in the face and then leave. And so they blow up the two roids and they're like, oh crap, Sally's all dead face. And so Marvelous is like flashing back to being betrayed by Basco and when he got shot. So he's like, let's bring her back to the ship and fix her up and do naughty monkey things to her. So they bring her back to the ship, and a guy starts talking monkey to her because he's insane. And they're all like, ah, monkeys, brah, monkeys. And I don't know. And so, oh, crap. What happens there? They're like, Joe goes to talk to Marvelous and is like, dude, you know it's like a trap, right? And he's like,
oh, sorry.
I see how it is. I see how it is. So he keeps flashing back to being betrayed, and they start talking about stuff and picking up strays, and then Sally's all asleep and she wakes up, and you see Basco flashing back to like telling Sally, okay, now you got to get on the ship and you got to take their treasure chest, and then we get lots of treasure, and then we're cool guys. And then Sally wakes up and is going to go for the chest, and then she starts like flashing back and forth between Basco shooting her and being like, get the treasure chest, and then those guys being like, hey, he's a douche nozzle. And then she's like, yeah, he kind of is. But then she ends up taking the chest anyway. And the Gokaijers follow her, and they're like, lols? It's a fake box. And then Sally's like trying to decide what to do, and she doesn't know what to do. And then it basically becomes the scene from the end of Air Bud. And he's like, look, come to me, Sally. And they're like, no, Sally, don't. Come with us. And he's like, come with me, Sally. And they're like, no, Sally, come with us. And then Sally looks back and forth and keeps flashing back. And then finally she goes and hides behind Marvelous. And Basco's like, lol? You think I would trust a monkey? This is not monkey. It's superhero monkey. And so apparently the necklace he gave Sally for good luck was a bomb. And he made it go kablooey. And then she was in like a bunch of monkey chunks on the floor. And you're like, no, Air Bud. He blew up all over the little kid. Damn you, creepy clown guy from the Green Mile. And so then Marvelous is all dead-faced and they're like, Basco! Ah! And Basco turns into like his monster form, and then the other five are like, and then they get like start getting beat up. So they're like, let's do key things. And they're like, okay, let's do this one. And they start doing cool Die Ranger things, but not even Tommy and Saba can stop them. So then they go, and so they try that Kage no Mai shadow technique thing, and that doesn't work, so then they switch to, and then they try some like light ball of Orion, some kind of tactic.
Orion? Chuck? Sorry.
No, not Captain Archer. And so then none of that works. Basco's like, lol, I kick your ass now. And then he pones them, and they de-untransform, and they're like, we're dead face. And then he goes over, takes their keys, goes up on the galleon, and Navi's all like, Marvelous, Joe, Aimee, Hakase, Ruka, Guy, where are you? Ah! I don't know why she had to squawk that loud. It was really annoying. And then Marvi shows up. Yeah, Marvi. Basco shows up, and he's like, oh, Navi. And she's like, oh, shit. It's Basco. No. I don't know what's going on. But she was all, like, freaking out. And then Basco's like, lol, I got Navi and the ship. And I have the great powers and all the keys. I win, bitches. And then it ends when you sing the Gokaijers laying all dead face on the ground.
Or a dead face.
I know, right? So it was a pretty cool episode. It was fun. Poor Sally got blowed up. And, but which was kind of upsetting because I was actually hoping that they would take her on as a part of the team or something.
I know.
But, I don't know, maybe Guy will use the power of imagination to bring her back to life.
I think she'll get brought back to life somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she was kind of like an insignificant character, but Sendai hasn't really done the whole killing thing. Even if it's just a monkey.
I don't know, they couldn't, they couldn't keep Ryo and Mele alive, and they also could not bring back, what's his name? Sid no Senpai. He's
all
dead.
He was a plot device. He wasn't a character.
I mean, I guess, but still.
And they kept Gosei Green dead.
Yeah.
Well, fuck y'all.
I'm just kidding.
Not if I don't have to.
Gosei Green wasn't even a real person. I think it was a figment of Hyde's imagination. There was never two.
Hyde seen Deca Ranger, and he loved Senchan so much that he mentally just pictured Senchan as his partner, even though he never had a partner because he was too tall.
There was never two Seeks. He's too tall. So you count as two.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You're too tall to have a partner. Hyde's just sitting there going,
but Senchan's tall too.
I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever. Anyway.
That's why he picked Senchan, because he's the same height.
So I'm interested to see what happens next, because it should be fun.
Indeed. Let's see, what else do I got to say?
I'm just sad it's winding down.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have too much to say about it. I mean, it was a really fun, not fun episode, because it was kind of depressing, but, like, just a really good watch. And,
yeah,
I mean, the Gokaiders get their asses kicked a lot.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, they have the powers of every Sentai, and they still get pwned in the ass.
So, I mean, that's kind of weird and slightly unusual, but it's something I don't enjoy them getting their asses kicked, but it just makes it seem a little bit more real, I think. But yeah, Sal, oh god.
Like,
I was scarred. I was sitting there, I was watching it. I watched Forze first. I was like, oh, I'll get this happy shit out of the way. And then, like, Sally goes, and then here's Marvelous. He's like, I'm bleeding everywhere. And then there's just, like, Sally's gone. And I'm like,
and her eyes got all wide before she died.
I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah,
and
I was so sad.
That was really sad.
But, we did get our second Go Busters promo, and that actually looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the grunts for Go Busters.
And I like that.
Steal the blue alien from Galaxy Quest.
And I like that cockpit.
She's like, Gorignac, Gorignac.
Gorignac, Gorignac.
Right.
God damn. Haunter?
Damn. Gengar?
Haunter. Wait, what? I thought you were asking me if it was a Gengar.
How the mecha fights now are just like, let's spam all the toys.
Yeah. At least they're using more than just like that period of time when they were always just using Shinkan Gokaio.
Yeah.
Like, at least they're using all of them now for like 4 seconds.
I love how like Baskos are like, huh, maybe I shouldn't have let them get those great powers. Well, that sucks. Oh well.
This guy's just a giant asshole.
Yeah, I don't think he's redeemed now. I want him to get blown up. And then make Sally out
like,
of
I went through
parts.
This whole show going, maybe he's working for the good guys. Maybe he can be redeemed. Maybe he's not a giant asshole. No,
then he blew
I think
up the
he's
monkey.
Just a giant asshole. He shot a monkey.
Then he blew up
can't
the monkey.
Come back from that.
He's like, here's a necklace. Consider it a good luck charm. Lol. And then he blows her up with it. And you're like, no, monkey.
Poor Sally.
Monkey is one of my main characters on that Cartoon Network game.
Monkey, the superhero monkey.
Yeah, I was just kind of sad because I like
Sally. Because I like monkeys.
Sally's my favorite Gokaiger character.
Although I did thoroughly enjoy when Guy started speaking monkey.
Don did too, that was pretty funny.
I know, I was like, are you serious?
Are you serious? Yes.
Damn it.
This is just ridiculous. Like, we should speak monkey into them. What? Are you retarded?
Yes.
I think he's retarded.
Yeah, he kind of is. But yeah, okay. Next... I'm really looking forward to next episode, because it looks like they have to fight themselves.
I know. Cool. Well, he's got their keys, so yeah, that should be interesting.
Trumpet
I like
shit.
How they're like, is Marvelous going to be okay? Preview. Yep.
Yeah, like...
And they get their keys back. Thanks. I don't need to watch next week now, do
the
I?
Previews... Like, I love the previews, because it gives me pump for next week, but, I mean, they spoil so much.
Yeah.
Particularly this one, like, it's just... It spoils the fact that, well, one, he's okay, so he's going to recover probably pretty quickly within that episode. And then they get their keys back, because we see him transformed. And... So it's like, well, we know how this episode's going to play out. Though it's still going to be really freaking epic.
They always do that, though. They have a problem with that in all these shows. They do it in Kamen Rider, too.
Their previews are pretty spoilerific.
Yeah. They do it with, you know, like, they do it with, like, they did it with O's all the time, like... Oh no, what's Edgy gonna do? He's got one medal left. The very next, like the preview shows he's got like 20 medals in his form changing. We're like, Meanwhile, people still think he has one medal, and I'm like, what?
What are we going to do?
Are you retarded?
Do I want to answer that truthfully, or? Yes.
Oh no, we know they're retarded. Oh, you whore. You whore.
Hey.
Not you, Brian.
Okay.
Your mother.
That's just intolerable.
I was about to win and Wiggler threw a banana peel in front of me.
How dare he.
And then he won. And I lost. And I wanted to kill a bitch. Preferably Brian.
Okay, so before I die, let's move on.
Okay. So, Forza time. My favorite time of the week. So we start off with...
Negative. Oh.
No. Spider-Man reboot sucks. Nerve St. John is Todd, and I don't like this show. Anyway, we start off with Hull Wankoff barking, and Nuhina's like, Kengo, you made it just the size that I like it. And he's like, yeah. And then we see Forza testing the hand switch, and they're like, why is the hand on his leg? At least we're finally being competent in the show. And then they test it out and stuff, and Kengo goes in there, and he throws a BF, but he pretends he's not throwing a BF. And, what's his name? Gintaro was like, we should just let Ryusei do this because he needs a job. And then he's like, yeah, the NS magnet switches are almost done. And then he's like, no, we can't use it. Stop. And then he runs off like a baby and goes, hangs out with a non-blonde shemale. And then, Dragon Zodiard attacks him and Forze goes to the scene and he starts fighting him, but nothing he does works because of how strong his skin is. And he's like, try the magnet switch. He's like, okay. And then he almost kills himself because all the stuff start heading towards him. Clearly, he did not know how to use Lodestar. And then, of course, Power Dizer comes in and saves the day, just as Brian was saying, where's that guy been? 5 seconds later, Power Dizer. And then back at the base, Kengo shows everyone plans for the magnet phone so that the switches can work properly. And then Gintaro's like, let's just let's let Ryusei build it. He's like, no, stop touching my dad's stuff. And then he runs off again, and he joins the blonde shemale club. Or the non-blonde shemale club, excuse me. And then Gintaro's on the roof petting Hull Wankoff, crying. Yeah, this is a weird show. And then they're like, you should go apologize to him because we made the phone. He's like, sweet. And then he doesn't know what a phone call is. And then a dragon appears again and they go off to fight it. And Meteor shows up and their advances are useless. And Meteor's like, hey, don't you have anything new? And he's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Because it's only been like 7 minutes. My mind's already been wiped. I looked at some flashcards and you know how it goes. And then the phone won't separate. And he's like, oh, blimey. And then Kengo's like, Gintaro, you're just stupid. And then it ends.
Yeah.
Like, it was a decent episode. I probably had more to say. Try to get someone else go first.
Kevin, you go first.
Alright. I really liked this episode. There was very little until like the very end, which was pleasant for my ears. The fact that it was only at the end, not the fact that it was there at all. What else? I just liked the fact that Gintaro got stumped at the math problem square root of 49. Because he's a complete moron. And They're just like, why is there a hand on his foot, dudes? What are we doing? What?
We know, right?
And they're like, thank you.
I just kind of want to see it used in the field as him doing math while fighting crime. Well, I guess math is crime, but still.
And then, I liked when, like, Kengo and Gintaro were fighting. Just the faces and the expressions and the things that the rest of the Kamen Rider Club are doing are absolutely hilarious. I don't know if anyone else noticed. But, like, Ring Girls...
They really haven't done much since they got their introduction episode. They're just kind of in there.
Like, Ring Girl's all there, and she's, like, making all these faces, and, like, Shun has, like, this pink pillow. Like, it's just a bunch of weird random crap, like, which I found funny because I'm strange that way. But, and then Ho Wankoff's all adorable and dog-like for some reason.
It's like, woof, woof.
And I know, and then Gintaro was petting his wiener, and we were like, ew. And, but it does make sense that these were to be things devised by New Hina. It's like, it all makes sense now. They were created by a moron. With a childlike personality. Okay, I can forgive your stupidity. Sort of.
I can forgive you now, I think, maybe.
It also explains the stupidness of the ones we've seen coming up later. They were created by an idiot. But yeah, and I want to know what's up with Track Girl, because... That was just
is
weird.
She's a switcher? Like, I'm confused.
I think it's the track coach. I think it was a
probably
classic red herring. Because she ran... It was too convenient. She ran behind the bushes, and then the Zodiac came out. I'm like, it's not her.
Yeah.
I mean, it could
she ran behind
here,
the bushes
but...
to take a pee, and then the Zodiac came out. I was like, I'll kill you.
But it failed. It's got a rotten intersect. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure it's probably the track coach. Like, I just looked at the guy. I'm like, you're going to be an asshole.
Yeah. That guy's he was being an asshole. I was like, oh no, she can't talk to anyone who's not on the track team. What?
Plus, I want to make sex with her later.
I mean, you know,
age of consent is 13, for God's sake.
Like, you know, he has something to do with the track team because he always mentioned hurdles. No. Okay.
Well, yeah.
You mean the Zodiac?
Yeah. Because you could always talk about jumping hurdles or something.
Yeah. And there's just silence clicking.
But yeah, it's... I mean, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I like Forza. I don't care what Dawson thinks. It's fun. And the whole thing with, like, Kengo just throwing a BF over and over again.
Completely off topic, but I think... Kengo's actor would have made a really good main writer for a more serious show.
Yeah.
Possibly, yes.
I still think he might become a writer eventually at some point.
I think he could if he gets over the stupid, oh, my head!
Oh, I know, that's so stupid. Like,
we don't even know what's wrong with him yet.
Yeah.
We just know that he, like collapses when he starts doing too much shit at once.
Like, he just yells, oh, fuck! Like, dude, you were just yelling. Shut up. I ate that potato too fast.
Oh, fuck.
But yeah, there was cool stuff there, and I forgot what I was going to say now, and...
I think he was totally justified in his being pissed off. I mean, that's his base, and that's all his dad's stuff. And then you just have all these
and that's his
over.
Job, and then... Meteor comes in and is like, I'm going to do the job. I mean, they don't know it's Meteor.
I have
like,
one
job.
It's stupid, but I'm going to do it. Wait a minute. All your other jobs are stupid. I'm the only one that does anything important. You guys just sit around here in color.
Shut up.
That's what the comment
and I love how
does.
They start. I love how they start fighting and Jake's like, can I go home? No. Aww. But they're fighting again. I don't want to watch this. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun episode. I enjoyed it. There really wasn't any moments where I was just like, wah, wah. Outside of when Meteor started doing his little Meteor shit.
Yeah, I was like, is he not going to do it? And then he goes, whoa. I'm like, fuck you, you gay. Get out of my face.
Fuck my life. He's doing it again.
I thought he might stop, and he didn't. He didn't stop.
But he didn't use any of his planets.
Meteor Galaxy, based off Meteor. I mean, Meteor Galaxy, based off Team Galactic. Mars.
Lol. Jupiter.
Mars.
Saturn.
Just summons people.
Saturn,
from that team.
Ready. Lol.
Is strong enough.
Jupiter, ready. Okay, Jupiter.
Vegeta, ready. Okay, Vegeta. Tatooine, ready. Okay, Tatooine. That was too much.
Uranus,
honestly.
Ready. Okay, Uranus.
Yeah.
Because we all like using Uranus.
Bet you do.
You know it.
Thumbs up.
Comment, subscribe.
Comment and subscribe. I hate you.
Venusaur, kill Alakazam. Good job, Venusaur.
Okay,
yay, Venusaur.
Let's just shut up and move on.
Okay.
To yesterday. Okay, as always, it's time for retrospective random rambles. This time, Dragon Ball Z, the Android Cell saga of biweekliness. I just feel like saying biweekliness because I think that's funny.
He wants to say something with "bi" in it.
What?
You just want to say something with the word "bi" in it.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Let me close the Game Boy for a minute. Okay, so when we open back up,
you're not playing a game at all.
No, not at all. I was playing a game in my head. I can only play SP now because I play my PSP and I can't flash anymore. Chris warned me, but I didn't listen. And Kat was warned about the flying giraffes. Did she listen? No. Choose your Skylander. Choose your Skylander. Choose your... Sorry. Anyway, so when we start up, everyone is rushing to go see where Frieza is landing because they sense his presence, and Gohan's like, oh man, I gotta put on my armor and beat up my tutor and stuff like that. And so they all head to where Frieza's landing, and they're like, Zom gets Frieza, and Vegeta's like, I'm wearing pink. And then all of a sudden, Trunks shows up and pretty much turbo pones them in a few minutes. It's more like 4 episodes in the anime because they have to breathe a lot and do a lot of boasting. And then Trunks is like, I'm going to go meet Goku. Let's go. Follow me. Here, I have a fridge full of soda. And then he meets Goku when he arrives on Earth.
I like soda.
Yes, exactly. And then he tells Goku that in 3 years' time, androids will emerge on Earth and will kill everyone, but Goku won't get to fight because he dies of a heart virus like a bitch. It's actually indigestion, but Goku's never experienced it before. And he also says that he's Vegeta and Bulma's son, and Goku's like, Zomk! That's juicy gossip. And he gives Goku an antidote for his virus that's invented in the future and tells everyone to train. So they proceed to do that, and they punch and kick a little bit, and Goku and Piccolo get, like, a driver's license or something. And then all of a sudden, it's 3 years later. So then everyone gets ready, goes to, what was it, like, southwest of South City or something like that? Damn it, Fies!
I think so.
Southwest like Airlines?
3 miles southwest of South City or
yeah,
some shit.
Something ominous. So they go, like, skipping around the city, like, where is everyone? Yamcha's like, Zomk! And then he gets stabbed in the gut with a hand by an old man and a fat, overly white guy. So those are the androids. 19 and 20 appear. And Goku's
so wait,
like,
is 19 a dude?
19 is nothing.
I couldn't tell if it was a dude or like an old lady.
He's not even bisexual. He's just nothing.
Sorry, carry on.
So then Goku's like, we need to take this somewhere safe. They're like, aight. So they go to fight, and Goku seems to be doing well until his heart virus kicks in. And then Vegeta shows up. He's like, I'm a Super Saiyan. Check out my un-golden-tipped boots. No, okay. So then Vegeta kills 19.
I got it.
Everyone hunts for 20. He's like, Zom, these guys are strongs. This wasn't in my datas. And so he goes to awaken 17 and 18 while Trunks shows up and he goes, what happened? He's like, these aren't the androids from my timeline. They're like, what happened, Trunks? Why are these different? He's like, what I think happened is at some point the timeline skewed off to the side, creating an alternate 1985. Alternate to you, me, and Einstein, but reality for everybody else. And they're like, who's Einstein? I don't know.
And why do we have a blackboard in our living room?
I don't know. Why is there a blackboard in the middle of this canyon? I don't know. This is where Piccolo fought in 20, so I couldn't resist making that reference. Anyhow, so after 17 and 18 are awake, they kill Dr. Gero, a.k.a. Android 20, and they show up and they're all strong, and everyone's like, Zom, we can't beat them, even Super Saiyan Vegeta. And then they kind of drive around looking for Goku for like 15 episodes while Goku sits in his bed for 15 episodes and like, and sleeping. And then Piccolo's like, I must
why are they driving again? I don't remember.
Because 17 thought it would be fun. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, how did I just get slapped 5 times in a row? This is ridiculous.
Who's the slap bet commissioner? That's who you should ask. Okay, no. Well, some people will get that. Anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, driving. So this kind of goes on for some of the episodes, while Piccolo decides to merge with Kami for more power. But then at that time, another mysterious creature appears and he's
more
absorbing Namekians, humans.
More power!
Yes, Namekian power. I just like saying power. They find out it's Cell, and he starts absorbing Piccolo's arm, and he explains that he comes from the future, and he's, like, I guess unofficially, Android 21, and he's made from the cells of all the greatest fighters on Earth and of space, and in the future...
Plus me.
In the future, he's the Red Ranger, and he finally grows, and he kills Trunks and takes his time machine and comes back to now. And
magic wand, make my cell grow!
Thank you.
All right.
And then he wants to become his perfect form by absorbing 17 and 18. So Trunks and Krillin blow up the lab where Cell was created in the past, because apparently now there's some kind of freaky deaky weebly wobbly timey wimey stuff. So now it's 2 timelines for the convenience of the plot. So even if they destroy the cell just won't go poof, which would have been a funny resolution to the entire conflict. Piccolo eventually fights 17 and they're pretty evenly matched, but then he gets absorbed by Cell and he turns into flat face Cell. And then Vegeta and Trunks train in the hyperbolic time chamber, which no one mentioned ever before, when they could have totally turbo-poned the Saiyans years ago, but it's fine, don't worry about it. And Vegeta takes on Cell, and Trunks takes on Cell, and Trunks is stronger than Cell, but he's too fat to fight him in his ascended Super Saiyan form. And Vegeta could beat him, but he's like, no, I want to see how strong you can get him. I'm like, Vegeta, now you look like a dumbass.
I look like a dumbass.
After Android 18 and Krillin bond, she gets absorbed, and he becomes Perfect Cell. They start the Cell Games. Everyone shows up for the Cell Games. Hercule's there for a bit. He's like, Zom, I'm the strongest. And he gets slapped around for a little bit. There's some breathing.
Satan.
Exactly. Goku and Cell fight, and it seems to be fairly even, but Goku's like, there's no way I can beat you. There's nothing I can do. Gohan's the one who will defeat you. And he's like, what? And then Gohan goes in the field, and Cell starts beating the shit out of him. And then Gohan dies, and Cell blows up the Earth, and then it ends. Okay, no. What really happens is that everyone's talking about Gohan's hidden potential until Cell... six of Cell Juniors on his friends and kills Android 16, and Gohan freaks out and goes Super Saiyan 2, turbo pones the Cell Juniors, and it appears as though Gohan's gonna win, and then Goku takes Cell to Otherworld and blows up King Kai's home and sacrifices himself for nothing.
Goku! You homewrecker!
Now, this is one of the only sagas I've only seen once. How did Cell get from Otherworld to regenerating on Earth?
Instant transmission.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when Goku used it, he learned it, and then was like...
I forgot about that.
I learned instant transmission. I'm a dick.
Thank you. I was thinking about that earlier when I was writing my summary in my head. I'm like, wait, how did that go down? Man, this show's fucked up. Anyway, so then Cell becomes perfect Cell, complete, which is just Cell with lightning around him. It's even more pathetic than Buff Frieza. So then Gohan finally defeats him using a Kamehameha wave with one hand with his father's spirit. And then Goku says not to revive him because Earth will be safer without his shenanigans. That lasts long. And then everyone's like, bye-bye! And then it ends.
Bye! Oh, not you.
I need a drink now.
No.
Between the Back to the Future references and reenacting the blackboard scene despite the fact that no one could see me.
My question is, does Buff Frieza have any relation to Buff Shyla?
Yes. They're third cousins twice removed.
Got it.
Okay. So you know.
Thank you. Because I really needed to know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe.
Okay. So, honestly, the Cell Saga is, like, probably my favorite saga for the simple fact that Gohan's
my
favorite.
You said Frieza was your favorite.
Next week.
Sorry. You said Frieza was your favorite. Next week, Boo's probably my favorite saga because he's pink.
Sorry. I mean, I like the Frieza saga better overall, but just because, like, Gohan's my favorite character, and this was basically, like, his saga. Like, this entire saga was basically dedicated to Gohan's character growth.
I love the Gohan.
So because of that, like, this is probably my favorite just because Gohan gets so much character growth that we'll talk about later that I love it a lot. But
it seemed like what Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z was culminating to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said it would have felt weird if it would have ended with Frieza because of how much focus they put on Gohan. Like, mine is, I have like really split opinions because I think this is my favorite saga based on storyline because I'm like a sucker for time travel shit, even if it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And like the next set of seasons is probably my favorite just watch-wise. Like, I love the concept of Cell. Like, that he's this organism using all the cells of, like, all the heroes and, like, all
ooh,
the
Ooh, Dieranger 42's out.
Yay, I don't care. Anyway, like, I love that concept, but at the same time, I felt his introduction took away from the androids.
Oh, it did. Like, I think this saga in general would have been able to be handled perfectly fine if they would have spaced out the androids more and just pretty much built it strictly on the fact that the androids were there. Because I like the androids more than I like Cell.
Yeah, me too.
So,
especially after you see how like ruthless and powerful they are in the Future Trunks movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they really don't do anything. Like, 19 and 20 doofuses show up, and then they drive around, and by the time they show up, they're outmatched by Cell. So, like, the build-up felt wasted on me. Like, part of me would rather Cell not be there, or they just separated the sagas in general.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like...
Because he spends so much time fearing the androids, and then Cell just shows up and goes, and then eats them.
Yeah, well, I really liked Future Trunks. I really like Future Trunks just showing up and poning Frieza and just being like, shut up and go away. We don't care about you anymore. You had your chance. We need a new villain. Leave.
Pretty soon, Gohan will be able to stop.
Yeah, like, you need to stop with your little whining, and you're such a little bitch. And, the whole thing with the androids was just fun. I really liked them. And, especially 16, which we'll talk about later. And then Cell, like, he was just creepy. Like, but it was fun. And then Gohan actually being able to do something, even though he was like, I'm a little dick.
I'm a little dick or a little dick?
Wait, what?
Okay. I don't know. I was trying to be dirty. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Now Brian's making gross noises and it just adds
and- And this is such a wonderful saga because it introduced Hercule Satan to the world, and we can all use more Mr.
Satan. Satan.
That's one thing I think is funny is that I actually like those scenes because I just think they're funny to watch. Like,
well, Mr. Satan.
Kevin just laughs at his own joke. I'm just kidding. That, like, Hercule thinks he's so strong and just gets, like, slapped out of the way.
Yeah.
And then, like, how
he's
amazing.
All magic and a trick.
Like, yeah, like how amazed the news reporters and shit are when Goku and Cell are just like jumping all around and exploding each other. Like, fuck. Like,
this must be some awesome trick. This is special effects at its finest.
Like, shouldn't you get out there, Mr. Satan? Yeah, I'm gonna get out there in a little bit.
Well, no. My stomach hurts. Yeah, that's it. I ate some bad fish.
That's what I said about your mom. Oh, I'm sorry.
But yeah, like, I like the earlier parts of the saga a lot more than the later bits, even though I do really like the Cell games in general. But, like, the Imperfect Cell saga and the Perfect Cell saga, for that matter, just basically the period of the saga where it was just all about Cell's growth, that part dragged on a lot, and I didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But the initial part with Trunks and the androids and everything I really liked, and the Cell games I really liked, but just that middle part seemed to kind of drag on forever.
Yeah, a lot of the Dragon Ball sagas were like that.
The portion of the story where he described himself, like, going back in time, like, regressing himself, and then, like, going back in time, and then, like...
That all kind of got...
Regrowing, and I was like... First, I was confused and creeped out, and then disgusted. He's, like, showing himself, like... Just
showing
jamming.
Himself, look at my genitals. Got turned like, off on Mustafa.
That's basically what he did, though. He, like, took his little tail prick thing and, like, stuck it into people and, like, sucked them out. And it's like, ugh, that was just disgusting and creepy.
It was really disgusting, like, when they actually, like, show it and you just see these people start, like, deteriorating and then their clothes just fall.
Yeah, creepy shit. But they'll get wished back and they won't remember a thing.
Yeah.
Earth died like 8 times in this show. And what, it was really confusing. Not confusing, but it kind of took the purpose away when they basically split it into 2 timelines. Because at the end, Trunks went back and killed the real androids.
Yeah, that was fun, too.
What I want to know, where's Majin Buu in Trunks' timeline? They didn't show the scenes after. They're like, yes, they beat the androids, and then Buu's like, boo! And then he just kills Trunks. And it's all over.
So, I'm trying to remember, like, what happened with Trunks' timeline? Like, he went back, and he killed the androids, and then killed Cell?
Yeah, like, here's my understanding.
Even though
it, like,
Cell went back in time already, like, this was before he went back in time.
Like, because he created two timelines.
My head hurts.
Like, at the end of the show, you remember he killed the two real androids, and then he killed Cell before he could go back?
Yeah.
In the other timeline, what happened is he killed the two androids, and then Cell killed him. So that was timeline one. So all that Cell took place after they defeated Cell in the past. Whoa.
So,
whoa.
So the Cell that's in the main timeline is one that killed Trunks.
And there's like three timelines now.
It's like Zelda, oh god.
Oh my god, this is ridiculous.
Okay, so wait, so there was Trunks' timeline, and that's where we get this timeline Cell from. But then in our timeline, we killed Cell, so he doesn't exist in our timeline, even though he does because he's from a different timeline.
Yes.
It's like Fringe right now.
And people say Deno is confusing.
And then Peter sacrificed himself so he wouldn't exist, and then they reset everything. Oh, that's
I just want to comment that people say Deno is confusing. Listen to that about five times.
In one timeline, Cell killed Trunks, but Trunks had already killed the two androids.
Right. Yes.
So he's all like, well, I need to get power. And so he goes back in time to the main timeline to eat the androids. Meanwhile, Trunks goes back to the main timeline to help fight the androids, which get eaten by the Cell from the other timeline. But once everything's all said and done, Trunks goes back to his timeline and kills the androids, just like in the first timeline. However, he's aware of Cell this time, so then he kills Cell, thus creating a third timeline.
Yes. It's like Trunks is trying his hardest to rewrite history, but instead of rewriting, he just keeps creating fucked timelines. Including one where, I think that, if I remember right, because I don't know if it was the first one, because I finished Let me finish my sentence, you peasant. I'm just kidding.
Like, oh, God.
I don't remember what it's called, like Budokai Miniature or whatever for the PSP. I finished the first one, but not the second one, but one of them dealt with the storyline of what would happen if Boo appeared in Trunks' world. I don't remember what happened, though, because it was all just in panels, and I was very bored, and I played it during class. I mean, I'm a good student. It was when we were watching a movie, okay? Other activities include playing the Ninja Turtles game on Game Boy Micro and watching Harold and Kumar and laughing
at
inappropriate
sad
moves. Yeah, it's all very confusing. Like, this is like a classic time travel thing, though, where you can't really go back and change anything, but instead you can, it just creates another timeline.
Yeah.
So why did Trunks care? He'd be like, oh, fuck, it doesn't matter, I'm going home.
Because he was determined to make a timeline where everyone was happy. Even though he'd go back to his timeline and everyone was still dead. And
yeah, it's very confusing. But, like, I'm a sucker for that type of thing because I find it intriguing.
Though, in the timeline, in Trunks' normal timeline where he kills everyone and everything's all happy, can he go to New Namek and use their Dragon Balls?
I you broke me, Brian. No. Like, I always thought about that too. Like, why can't you, instead of building a time machine, Bulma, why don't you just go get the damn Dragon Balls on Namek, you idiot? You went there. Also, did the androids find Kami's place? Because he could be in the Cyberbolic time chamber in that timeline.
I know they killed Piccolo, so Kami died.
Does the room not work then? Because the Dragon Balls didn't work. Because the Dragon Balls didn't work when they merged, but the Room of Spirit and Time did, or Hyperbolic Time Chamber.
Maybe they, I don't. Maybe he just didn't know. And with Piccolo and Kami dead, Popo's probably dead, so there's no one there. There's no one there to tell him about the room.
I need Mr. Popo.
Like, so I was just sitting there, and Trunks is like, I'm fucked, and there's like eight resources around him. Let's just go back in time. We could go to Namek, or the... Oh, okay, he's gone. Like, there's so many things he could do. He could just have sex with a bunch of women and create more Saiyans.
I got Lakitu. Like, adorable.
Man, we're so professional.
I guess we can talk about characters now that we've melted our brains trying to figure out timelines.
Aww.
Yeah. The characters.
So, as for, Goku, he was Goku.
Yeah, he was Goku, but and he smiled a lot and ate.
The thing about the saga is that Goku really wasn't that prevalent in it. Like, the only role Goku really played throughout the saga was to mentor Gohan.
Yeah.
And make sure that Gohan was strong enough to beat Cell. That was really, the only thing he did.
And then they got naked together.
Had baths and hot sexy time.
That's how Japanese people roll, though. Remember all the baths in Kiva? I can't wait to experience that again.
I want to take a Kiva bath.
Movie, I'm like, what's, oh no, that was Fize. And they're like, you're sad. Let's take a bath together. And
I want to take a bath with Kenji
Matsuda.
What's
that guy's name? The Blade version of Fize. I mean, Kotaro's version. Ketaro. Stupid Ketaro's phone. He was like, you need a towel, and he got the door slammed in his face. That's not important to Goku's story. Anyway.
Moving along.
But, like you said, Goku's role was mainly a mentor to Gohan, and he kind of had that, sort of wise thing going on at the end where he kind of knew what was going to happen. Kind of like Tendo. He's the only one that knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
He knew Goku could do it and that he was probably going to die somehow or something. He was very calm about everything.
Yeah. He knew what he had to do, basically.
Yeah. I love Goku. So, who's next on characters?
Definitely Gohan.
Gohan!
Gohan
sucks. He's the worst character ever. No, I'm kidding.
This saga was just so perfect for Gohan. Everything
what are
was
you playing, Ryan?
Nothing.
So, XXXXX. Perfect. Wait, that sounded wrong. Because of the X's.
Ryan's playing a porn video game, yes.
But, I don't know. He just changed. He didn't really even change so much. Just the fact that he grew in strength and height and all.
Yes, he got older. So, yes, he got taller and.
I'm going to have to kind of talk about next saga, not really in depth, but, it kind of confuses me, Gohan, because, in this one, it really emphasizes the fact that he doesn't like to fight, but he likes to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
He's doesn't more like about, to fight, He also doesn't like studying, because his mother's a little bitch. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, in the next saga, they had to, rock, paper, scissors, because they were so excited to fight Majin Buu's henchmen. There's times where Gohan appears just like Goku, where he's really excited to fight, but then he's like, I don't like fighting, I want peace. I don't get it. Which one are you?
Are you a hippie, or what are you?
He doesn't know what he wants in life.
That's why he becomes a bookworm later.
Yeah.
He's just like, fuck it, I'll just give in to my mother's needs, and that sounded wrong, too.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
I'm sure there's some weird Gohan Chi-Chi doujin out there somewhere.
God. Yeah, I didn't need to hear that. I hate Chi-Chi as it is.
I'm curling up in a ball now.
You hate Chi-Chis?
I hate Gohan's mother, Chi Chi. She is obnoxious.
I only ate at Chi Chi's once, and then my entire family got food poisoning.
Oh, God. No wonder Goku always wants to leave.
She gave him food poisoning.
Yeah, good times.
Good times of food poisoning? What the hell's wrong with you?
It was sarcasm.
You know what's a sarcasm? Your mother's a whore. Oh, wait, that's not sarcasm.
Anyway,
that's
this has nothing true. To do with Gohan.
So,
Gohan.
I hate this because there's always so much to talk about, but so nothing to talk about.
Let's talk about something John mentioned about Super Saiyan 2 seeming convenient.
Oh, it was it was.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. I thought it was perfect. Because
I think it
was a perfect sequel to Goku's ultimate moment.
Right.
That's what I thought. I didn't think it was convenient.
It was convenient in the sense that he needed to be stronger than everything else to win. And that's kind of what happens with Super Saiyan 3 and Super Saiyan 4 and Super Saiyan 5.
But, you can always make a technique better. So it just makes sense they can ascend it.
Just the part that I like is the fact that since the beginning of Z, they were always hinting that Gohan had some otherworldly power.
Yeah.
To be, the strongest person ever. And it would make sense that he would have a level above a Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Given the fact that that's just what they were hinting at, that he was the strongest person in the show, and that he could excel above even Goku.
Yeah.
And that's what this entire saga itself was leading up to, and that's why I really like it so much.
Mm-hmm.
just the fact that they were hinting at it this entire time, and this was the point where it was actually getting done, and Goku was making sure it was getting done.
Yeah.
And so I don't mind the transformation in that aspect, because I think it plays out perfectly for what they were going through, going to do and trying to achieve with Gohan's character. But, I mean, I know what they mean by convenient in the fact that, oh, you can go Super Saiyan 2. What I don't like is this weird ascended Super Saiyan shit.
See, that's one of the reasons it made sense to me, is because they were constantly trying to ascend. Like, and that was like some kind of
weird
hybrid.
I was just confused because they're like, that's a level above Super Saiyan. But to me, like, the ascended Super Saiyan levels were just...
stupid?
Well, stupid, but I think it was just them taking their Super Saiyan abilities and delegating them to different areas.
Yeah.
Where they took the increased speed from becoming a Super Saiyan and delegating it all to strength.
Yeah.
So, you lost all the speed that you gained by being a Super Saiyan, but now you are stronger than an actual Super Saiyan. And so you're just all like, I'm big and poofy.
I'm big and poofy.
He's a Super Saiyan.
He's a Super Saiyan. And there was a couple levels of those. I can't remember whether they delegated one purely to speed or not, but I don't know. But to me, the ascended levels weren't really, they're stronger than a Super Saiyan. It was just the fact that they took the strengths and pushed all the energy into one category.
Like they were learning how to use it. I think Vegeta's was more of a Super Saiyan 1.5, because he retained most of his speed, but he got stronger.
It's kind of like when you have like a character in a game that you can delegate points to.
That makes sense. I never thought of it that way.
And you just kind of pump all of your points into like strength.
Now I'm just picturing some kind of meter, and you're just raising Trunks up, and he's like, brah! And eventually his eyes disappear because of how strong he is. anyway. But like, I never thought about it that way, because like the whole Super Saiyan 2 thing always made sense to me in the fact that they spent so much time trying to ascend, and it just seemed like they couldn't quite make it, but then Gohan did.
Yeah.
But Gohan, then it makes no sense that
epic.
You would power up and power up and get beefier and beefier and then slim down for Super Saiyan 2.
Okay, so I went to the Super Saiyan page on the good old wiki, and there's Ascended Super Saiyan. It says an advancement in the power of the original Super Saiyan state. So I clicked on that. In Japan, it's called Super Saiyan 1 Stage 2. So it's like 1.2. Oh. the hair is more rigid and pale. Muscle mass increases. But
I don't
not
like
enough
fractions
to weigh the user down and reduce mobility. Unlike Ultra Super Saiyan.
Oh, God.
As a result of the muscle increase, the Saiyan's outfit pertaining to the upper torso area will end up shredding apart, as evidenced by future Trunks' transformation to the form while fighting Broly. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, basically that's like a Super Saiyan 1.5. Meanwhile, the ultimate Super Saiyan 3rd stage. What happened to the 2nd stage?
That was the last one. Super Saiyan 1 stage 2. Oh. Super Saiyan 1 stage 3.
Derp.
counts. 1, 2, 2, 3.
Look, Brian counts like Momotaros, okay?
And that's the one where basically they get really, really strong but really, really slow.
Yeah.
Good times. And then there's another one. There's a full power Super Saiyan. That's when Goku and Gohan can just chillax as Super Saiyans.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, yeah, we're legit.
The deluxe Super Saiyans.
Basically. So, there's all that noise. But, like, that's why it was okay to me. You pretty much covered that aspect of it.
For Gohan's discussion, we talked about Super Saiyans, basically.
As for things pertaining to Gohan, like, I just liked the way he was portrayed in this saga the most, and like the teen Gohan's like my favorite version of the character, just because, I mean, he's laid back, he wants to protect people, but he doesn't really like fighting. That's this era's Gohan, pretty much. And then when he gets older, he gets confused about what he wants in life.
And his sexuality. Because the bell's head, he cuts the hair, and he can't tell if it's a man or not.
Oh my god, Dawson and I said the same thing at the same time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my
yes.
god. Oh, our hive mind for the
hive mind.
Good times indeed. But I mean, I really don't know what too else to say about Gohan, even though he was the main character. Like, he didn't really change too much. He just kind of got stronger and became the more main character role.
I was going to say that my biggest disappointment about this is what his endgame ultimately ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the ultimate moment for Gohan, and then it just kind of goes downhill from here.
Yeah.
Like, you sense like rewrites, basically. Like, I think Aerosol said that they were trying to set him up to be the main hero, which I get that, but at the same time, I think this was supposed to be another point where he was supposed to end it.
Yeah.
He wanted to end it here again. And they're like, nope. I'm like, oh, fuck, fine.
Yeah, he was going to end it again at Cell.
And then I also remember, well, I guess this will be for next time, but I remember reading somewhere they're also thinking about making Goten the main character.
Stopping in itself made sense because Goku's all like, all right, I'm dead. Bye. I'm leaving. Don't bring me back. You know, F off. And then Gohan's all like, you know, I'm awesome. I'm a cool guy. I can handle myself now. And then they were like, come back. Anymore.
That would have worked perfectly if Gohan would have been the main character throughout the Buu saga.
Yeah.
And Goku wasn't really in it all that often besides playing some sort of mentor role in the afterlife.
Yeah.
But instead, they brought Goku back, and Goku got shifted back into the main character role, and he's off saving the day with Vegeta. And Gohan gets pushed to saving the day, like, once throughout that entire saga and being danced around by
men. And that was just a random robbery.
So, like, I think it would have been a perfect build-up, and the Buu saga would have worked fine with Gohan if they would have kept Gohan in that main character role that they were trying to destine him into.
Yeah.
But then they just took a completely different route, brought back Goku in, and then they're like, okay, whatever. Goku, yeah.
It's because people like Goku. That's what they said, because Goku's popular.
But
I'm not entirely upset, because I like Goku.
Go on!
Goku for life! Represent!
And
What?
One thing I did like about Gohan's character is, like, I love that's a weird.
You know who's a badass future Gohan?
Yeah, heck yeah. He only had one arm. He's like, fuck you, I can do anything.
I need a different hairstyle than real future Gohan.
It's kind of a lot like Yamcha's.
Yeah. Like all of Gohan's hairs.
But I just like his character relationship with 16.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me a lot of watching Dragon Ball, Goku and Aider.
Oh, yeah.
Like, befriending an android that didn't really want to be bad.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing for 16.
16 was later. Fun.
Plus, 16's just cool.
Yeah. And then Gohan was all sad when 16 died and was like, I care you, son!
Like, that moment in general. 16
was Gohan's Krillin.
Pretty much. John and Aerosol pointed that out and stuff. It's just like, that moment just kind of, it's really weird because it's like, and his head explodes. I'm like, oh god.
I love how Super Saiyan 1 and 2 are emotional. 3's like, Goku's like, I was bored being dead and I made it. And Gohan's is like, that's cool. I want to do it too. Super Saiyan 4 is an altogether other mess.
I was bored.
I found it. I started screaming just to see what would happen.
I was sitting there bored and I was wondering, what happens if I yell for a really long time? And then I found out that it makes my hair grow.
That's so cool.
Fuck you, Rogaine. I got my own methods.
Fuck you, Bosley Harrisman. You can wash it, cut it, swim with it.
Also, fuck you, Tom Bosley, just for no reason.
All right. Oh, well.
So,
yeah. It would be sucks for Tom Bosley, doesn't it?
The thing about, like, doing the characters for Dragon Ball is the fact that these characters don't change.
Yeah, Vegeta didn't change
this one. This was a big saga for Vegeta, too.
I have a son, I marry an Earth woman, I have sex.
What is sex? What's a penis? I only like fighting.
I get a family, and I'm a Super Saiyan.
Sex is fighting in bed.
Oh, God. Poor Bulma.
Notice the tail. Oh, I thought that was his penis.
But I think that...
Maybe it is. You don't have Saiyans. Oh, wait, no, we've seen Goku's junk. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, it's the two C's.
Yeah.
It's also gone.
I seen it when I was like... watching Dragon Ball earlier today.
It's just like Team C's from...
You were looking for it, weren't you?
Goku took off his pants in the middle of the town.
Oh my god, that was a spectacular sentence. Goku took off his pants in the middle of town. I love that. You soaking your feet in milk? I love that.
I love that.
Gibby. Anyway, I think despite Gohan being the main focus of this, I think Vegeta got the most development again.
Yeah.
He really. Vegeta's awesome.
He achieved Super Saiyan. And finally basically started to warm up to his son near the end and basically attacked Cell because of Trunks' death.
And really started to warm up to everyone else too, somewhat, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Gohan didn't really need development because his character wasn't meant to change because he was always the good, heroic Goku replacement.
Yeah.
Whereas Vegeta was basically a giant asshole that needed to learn to not be a giant asshole. And so we get
Which is pretty hard to do, trust me.
We get a lot of development for Vegeta. And considering Vegeta's in my top three characters, that's another reason why I like this saga.
Vegeta.
Conveniently enough, the other character that gets a decent amount of characterization is Piccolo, my other favorite character.
This is Piccolo's like last hurrah, really.
It really was.
Which is kind of sad.
Like, I just liked his sort of, with Piccolo anyway, like his slight inner turmoil about having to go fuse with Kami.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't want to do this, but it's the only way we have a chance of winning.
And poor Popo was so sad.
Popo's
like, call me!
Call me!
I'm like, it's Ken.
But I Ken need said. You. I got mirror mode.
This is Popo too. Like, Popo immediately stops being sad because he got mirror mode.
My Vanguards are still dead like Kami.
Look at my Vanguards standing gloriously. That was me. They all fall over. That would suck.
But just Vegeta's character actions between
Decky
Trunks
falls
and
all the cigarettes.
His growth with Goku is more in the Buu saga than the saga.
Yeah.
But...
There's always a reason I'm glad they continued.
Yeah.
Like, cause even if it's a small part. What was I going to say?
I don't know, man.
Oh, so we're just kind of jumbling up all the characters? Like, just talking about them
head-free?
So I was just talking about how much I love Future Trunks. Future Trunks is awesome.
Future Trunks rocks my socks.
Rockstar's your socks.
Like, he didn't really have that much development, but he has a really intriguing character. I think most of his development actually takes place in the movie.
Yeah, because you kind of understand why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
Well, he's from the future, so...
I guess... I feel like... The whole thing with Gohan actually winning is kind of also poetic in the sense that Gohan was like the one of the saviors of the future.
Yeah.
And but I thought there should have been more interaction on some level between Trunks and Gohan just because of that. But I guess it's a different timeline Gohan. It's alt Gohan.
Yeah. It's AU Gohan.
Yeah.
Oh god, not AUs.
Onodere Gohan. Instead of Son Gohan.
Yeah. Gohan is my homeboy. He does things to me that only Brian normally does.
I think that we can all agree, though, the most badass character is Baby Trunks. He totally...
Oh, heck yeah,
Trunks was about to go Super Saiyan, but they had to stop him.
Like, that's not
like, whoa,
you're eight.
Man. Whoa, calm down.
Wait till you come of age at 8. But Future Trunks was just, like, an awesome character.
He didn't really have too much growth or anything, but... He just had, like, this little aura of mystery that you kind of needed to watch the movie to find out.
Yeah, and it was just kind of nice to see him, like, get stronger and, like, get to know his dad and then eventually come back and save his time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it's funny that he had to go back to the past to go train to get super strong and then he could just defeat the androids like they're nothing.
Yeah.
It just seems like a funny concept to me.
Oh, like, I forgot to mention this during story and during Goku, but my favorite part of the entire whole shebang-a-bang was when Goku and Piccolo took driving lessons. I think that was...
That was my favorite episode.
I remember because that episode didn't air on TV originally, and the only way to get that episode was like sending in like
coupons,
little coupon things. That was that the one that was with the Burger King kids meals?
What?
I have those toys though.
But you both had times. To send in like a coupon of some sort, and you got it in the mail as a VHS tape.
I vaguely remember that.
What kind of establishment are they running over there?
What's their problem?
I don't know. It was funny, though.
It was.
I remember being all excited for it, and then I got it. I was like, what are they doing?
That's one thing I like about some of the fillers is I think my favorite ones are when just like the character's interaction with the real world. Just how uber strong they are and like alien to it.
Yeah.
Piccolo with a hat backwards. Gangsta. What do I can just fly. Shut up. Go get a driver's license.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
But I can't really think of any good guy characters to really talk about. No. Everyone was just kind of themselves.
Krillin, like he fell in love with 18, basically. That was his development.
That was really sudden, too. I didn't understand that.
I know that it sets it up for the future, but... And it's Dragon Ball's... It's such Dragon Ball's tradition to, like, take a villain and make them part of the main group. They, like, collect people. It's like freaking Cross Wars. Like, because they got Vegeta from Saiyan and Piccolo from Dragon Ball, and... Who'd they get from Frieza? I guess it's still Vegeta. But now they got 18 and 16, and arguably 17. Because, like, after this, he just got thrown up, and he just wandered around, apparently, until GT... Whatevs. And then look at Boo. But anyway. Like, that just seemed so weird. Especially, like... I guess it didn't hit me as much the first time I watched it, but after I'd watched the movie, like, how awful 17 and 18 are in that timeline. I just wanted them to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, they're like, oh, I'm Krillin's wife. No. It's better than that bitch Marin that ditched him for the guy in the sports car, though.
Yeah.
That chick Marin had big boobs, and that was fun.
You had to name your daughter after her? Man.
That's creepy.
Yeah,
right?
that was kind of strange.
Maybe it was just a mistake. I don't know. Someone flash on it. Oh, okay.
No.
And this was pretty much Yamcha, Tien, and Chaozu's last appearance.
Well, they were all like, bye-bye.
They showed up later. They're like, you know what? This training is not worth it. We don't make a bit of difference. Yamcha got stabbed. Tien's like, I still wear this stupid outfit. Like, they didn't do shit. Like, they just trained for nothing.
Tien's like, I still don't matter in life.
Pretty much. Like, this was the last time they were actively in a battle. I think Yamcha was the only one that, other than Krillin, actually showed up for part of it next time.
Yeah.
I'm touching it.
Are you?
No, I lied. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry I lied to you, Brian. Yeah, bring back my fig yards.
No.
No, pick them up yourself.
So.
Piccolo what myself? What?
Would it be the villains then?
Yep.
So who are we
Barons. Barons.
I don't really care to talk about King Cold or Frieza just because they didn't matter in life.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to mention is that it really bothered me that Frieza was built up to be this powerful creature and then he has a dad. So would he be stronger than him? Or, I don't know, he drank wine. In Yu-Gi-Oh! It was juice. I don't know. And where's Cooler fit into all this? Anyway.
He only exists juice. In the movie canon.
Shh. He exists in my canon in which you have a V-mon, okay?
Okay.
Okay. That's settled.
It's exclusively Brian's V-mon.
It is.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh,
look, now Nadeshiko's up on Premium Bandai.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures.
Alert the Okies.
Alert the Okies!
So is SIC Joker.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Fuck my life.
Do it.
When's he come
out? Do it, Brian.
He comes out in June. July.
Get it. I'll have money in July.
Yeah.
Hashtag favorite.
That's the lie.
Hashtag what the fuck?
So, the androids. We'll start with 19 and 20, like, I agree with John and Aerosol that it just seems so stupid that the Red Ribbon Army was behind the androids. Or rather, some scientist that was supposedly affiliated with the Red Ribbon Army. Because as far as I know, at least right now, and from what I watched of Dragon Ball, like, you don't even know about Dr. Gero and Dragon
Ball. Yeah, you don't.
And so just linking them to the Red Ribbon Army for no real reason other than, oh, this guy's disgruntled because his army got killed by Goku.
Like, here's what happened. Dr. Gero was working in the background the whole time on these androids, right? And then he comes out, he's like, guys, my new idea! Everyone's dead. The whole place was blown up, it disbanded, he was pissed. So he decided to make himself a robot, and then make more robots, and then make some sort of lizard robot.
Oh, that makes sense.
Wait, I really get that. I get that point, but at the same time, I would feel it would be worse if it was just some guy that randomly made them. At least this tied it back in a way, so it made sense.
Yeah, like, I can't think of any other way to handle it.
Like, I can't imagine, like, it would be worse if they just said, oh, this was some guy Goku pissed off screen, that at least if by tying it back to the Red Ribbon Army, you could sort of relate it to something that did happen.
Yeah.
Or if they just said this guy was just crazy and made androids. I wouldn't like that. So I liked that they did that just because it tied it back to it, and it inspired our logo. Bam, edit. I think I'm not using the powers right.
But I think Aristotle said that, like, he said he doesn't really feel like it was a necessary inclusion, though. Just out of general curiosity, Aristotle, since I know you're listening, can you think of any other way that it would have been handled better? Just curious, because I can't think of anything offhand to make it better.
Well, wait for a response. Hold on.
But he says it was still a nice shout out to the older half of the show, and it's nothing that hurts it at all. So
yeah,
right, I don't think Aristotle's listening. He hasn't given us a response yet. I'm very upset with him.
But Dr. Gero, like, despite being the main reason behind this entire saga, like, just doesn't really matter in life.
Why did he make all of the other androids superior models than himself? I feel like he explained it almost. Did he?
I thought he felt
gay.
Like, maybe they were prototypes, and he was. God, I don't remember.
I remember mentioning something with mind control.
Maybe he thought like the energy absorption models were more efficient.
Yeah, those were stupid.
Maybe they were greener. I don't know.
One of those. Android 19 wasn't a person, but 17 and 18 were people before this.
Well, I thought something like he didn't have time to, like, make himself one of those fancy high-tech bodies. Like, he I thought it was, like, dying or something and didn't have time to make himself.
That was the only model nearby.
It was more complicated to make one of those high-efficiency, super-cool models. And so he didn't have time to make one, but he had one of those ship bag models laying around and was like, I can be one of these guys. It's better than dying. I can fix myself up later. And then they killed him.
Jerks.
And then it ends.
All he did was turn two young people into androids and torture them. I mean, come on. That's hold a grudge.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'd do it right now if I could. I mean, I would not do that.
I want to touch back on the story quick. I think it's kind of funny that, like, or kind of funny and it's kind of creepy in a way that while they were all on Namek solving all these problems, there was shit brewing on Earth.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Power Rangers where we're following them in space for so long and then we finally come back down and see those problems on Earth still. Mm-hmm. Where? I don't know.
Yeah, let's do that. Wait, what?
I don't know. 19 really didn't seem all that threatening other than being kind of cold. And I just want to mention that was the only case, or one of the only cases, where I liked the Kai voice better, because it was more. It separated it from Boo and it sounded more creepy and robotic.
I liked the Kai voice better because it's voiced by the guy that voices Kero and Sergeant Frog, but.
Brilliant reasoning.
I care more about who it is rather than how it sounds.
And 17 and 18 were by far, like,
they're my favorite characters in the saga.
Like, the most interesting.
They're really cool.
Like, I love that they just go around, like, having fun and shit. And I've read in several places and, like, thought of myself that what makes them so terrifying is they look so normal and they just, like, get kicks out of such shit, but they're so powerful.
Yeah.
That's why I almost would have liked to see them in the final villains, because they're just so interesting. Because they're not like a typical, like, I feel like Cell was just like a typical monster for Dragon Ball, just fitting that formula where these guys were just so different from anything they fought.
Right.
Where it wasn't just some monster that changes form and keeps getting more powerful, where it was these things that look like these frail little things, but they're just like so powerful. And the fact that they're robotic and they don't really have any organic power to gauge was also kind of scary.
I really liked 16.
He had a mohawk. He was cool.
Well, it wasn't just the mohawk. It was just, he was all like, I need to go beat up and kill Goku. Oh, what about this guy? No, my programming says Goku. I'm only going to do Goku. Screw you guys. And then it's like, I'm going to come over here and play with the squirrel and little birdie. What? Like, it was just so funny. Like, hello, little birdie. He might crush it accidentally. I'm kind of nervous.
He was definitely a very interesting character.
Absolutely. Also, I might not be wearing pants right now. Or well, I could be. You don't know. That's part of the mystique of me.
Mystique. Brian, you have anything to add about 16, 17, or 18?
Not really. I mean, I agree with you about the fact that, like, they were threatening because they were so, like, just lax about everything because they didn't care about anything ever.
Yeah.
They just wanted to have fun.
Apparently these androids just want to have fun.
I was upset that 18 was so attractive and was evil.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know. What am I supposed to say to that?
It's okay, I'm flipping through Dr. Gero's trivia on the TV wiki, and it says, according to Laboratory Basement, which is an episode, I think, one of Gero's ventures outside of cybernetics includes plans for a gas-powered toaster oven.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, when Krillin mentioned that. Like, is there anything else? Like, no, just stuff about this.
I'm gonna bang your mama on that eye.
Sweet.
All right.
So, Cell. We kind of covered a lot about Cell already in a random discussion, so there really isn't too much to go over. But I definitely like the androids more than Cell.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess Cell's concept was really cool. It just kind of ruined the whole android build-up.
Yeah, like, I just feel like the androids weren't prevalent enough for a greater amount of time before Cell was introduced. And so then you had the androids looking for Goku and then Cell looking for the androids. And so it was just kind of this wild goose chase.
Yeah, like a lot of Dragon Ball, felt like a rewrite.
Yeah.
Like they thought of it while they were driving around. Well, like, what are we going to do next? I don't know, man. I just don't know. They just want me to keep writing. They have me locked up here, and Nukas keeps saying, more dregs. And I don't know what to do. This is stressful, man. And then Horrible's like, draw more. And then Kevin's microphone spazzes out. And then the other guy's not really there. He's just a giant fish. That was too much. That was just too much. I'm sorry. I took that too far.
Oh, that was just a setup for me to fix my microphone.
No, that was a joke about the time. Anyway. Yeah. There was a lot of talk about people not liking Cell's bug form and stuff. I really am kind of just indifferent.
Yeah, I really don't care.
Like
honestly, creepier. His perfect form just screams homosexual to me.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy to have like this bug body with like this man face. Like, that in real life would just look like creepy.
Personally, kind of like
the happy fish. That's what it would look like. That's exactly what Cell would be.
Personally,
like,
to me, isn't all everything about him screams homosexual. I mean, he just like pokes himself into you and just like starts sucking out a bunch of goo.
Oh god, with sound effects.
Like
with Colin Mockery. And oh wait, that's something different.
Like the whole thing is just creepy and gross. But I mean, what can you do, right? And those little larval forms, like I couldn't fit in the spaceship in my giant form. I was in my fat form. So I just shrunk myself back down to a cell and then grew myself back through my larval forms.
What? I feel like Cell jumped into the time machine and goes, brah, this is unexpected. This is small. How do you regress? Like, I can't be like, oh, fuck, I can't fit into this seat. I better regress to a baby.
Why couldn't he fit in the first place?
He was too tall.
Oh, he was too tall?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
Neither did I.
He was like, I'm in my fat form, so.
His tall form, skinny.
I'm in my Yao Ming form, so.
I absorb Yao Ming. Oh, that's Boo that takes on people's abilities. Now I'm just picturing a Boo Yao Ming absorption. And I'm loving it.
Boo Ming.
Oh, man. Oh, oh Ming.
What?
Oh, my God. Deleted scenes. Anyway. Does that pretty much cover everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be, those were the only villains.
Also, I think we covered our transformation concept section already.
I think Perfect Cell's a douche, because he was all like, oh, I don't want to die, I'm just going to blow up the planet, lols. And then he somehow regenerates himself as Perfect Cell, because he's a douche.
Yeah, he does that sometimes.
I think we already talked about our concepts and transformation section, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Plus, we already talked about Mr. Satan, and I just love Mr. Satan. I do. And I just love the fact that I'm able to say I love Satan and it not be considered weird.
It was hilarious because the VHSs and stuff that I bought all used Mr. Satan instead of Hercule.
Mine said Hercule.
What was it that I was watching then? I was watching something. Or what did I get the uncut ones?
See, the VHS said Hercule, and the other ones, the DVDs said, the remastered ones said Mr. Satan.
Brian, did you see the box of the Forza figure art?
What?
The box of the Forza figure.
No.
Alright, hold on, I'm gonna send it.
Maybe it was just the wording in the background that said Satan. I don't remember, but I just remember watching that in the living room, and then there's all these people with signs that say Satan and shit.
Satan, Satan.
Good times all around, though.
The box is all in English and it's coolness, and oh, it's a cool box.
Are they gonna sell it in America? No,
I don't know. You saw that picture where somebody found a gills in a Toys R Us?
Yeah, I think that was a plant.
Yeah, that was fake. Yeah,
I would hope so, because that's just weird.
If not, I want to go buy more gills, because gills is awesome. Drove out of a fucking lake, man. Anyway.
Awesome to sit there with 13 gills figurettes on the shelf.
But, I mean, as for the transformation itself, I just really like that scene where Gohan goes Super Saiyan 2.
Yeah, that's badass.
And I also like the scene with the father and son Kamehameha wave and stuff.
Yeah, and the Lucario and Ryolu scene.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look, I still like the father and son bathing
also,
scene.
Also, I think it was the same arm, but that was also another kind of poetic reference of Gohan's arm, the one that was taken out, the same one that future Gohan lost. I think it was the same one.
I want to say I agree.
But if it's not, regardless if it's the same arm or not, that's still kind of cool. I don't know if they meant to do that or not, but it was cool.
That was cool.
Oh, reminds me when I thought Ankh's arm was the same as the Taja Spinner arm, and then I was stupid.
I also like, shit, now. Oh, just like them training in the hyperbolic time chamber. That whole thing was cool. We can just sit in here for a day, and it's a year passes for us, and then we just get super strong, and we eat all the food because we're fat asses.
I think they need to make a parody video where they go in the hyperbolic time chamber before the Saiyan saga and just step on Vegeta as Super Saiyan 3. He's like, we are the Saiyans most powerful. Dead. Nappa goes Super Saiyan, just golden eyebrows. Just saying.
Oh, Brian, did you see all these dragon type cards?
Yeah.
They're pretty.
Pretty, pretty.
They're all gold.
Gold power.
Gold power.
Gold power. I miss gold power.
Yeah.
All I have is my tiny mega blocks to hold me over.
You're a dick.
Yeah. Anyway, so we just do final thoughts?
Yep.
Brian, you go first.
I don't know.
Or Kevin.
Final
thoughts. Final. Whoever goes first, I'll take your thoughts.
Someone else go first.
Okay, I'll go first. we
take
usually
my
pretty
thoughts
much cover
now, bitch.
We pretty much cover everything already in the discussion in the beginning, just that I really did enjoy it. I had a lot of great ideas, and like I said, it's probably my favorite storyline-wise, because I like that type of story. And I thought... This is the transitional period of when Dragon Ball had a sort of together storyline, where it started to bust at the seams before it completely exploded in the next set. But overall, I really do enjoy it. Like, there were some things I want to change and kind of maybe want to split up Androids and Cell to be more almost too separate. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I think I like it better than Frieza just because I've seen Frieza so much, I cannot even stand to look at it anymore. Even when Kai's on and I feel like watching it, if it's Frieza, I won't watch it not because it's Kai, but because it's the stupid-ass Frieza saga. I'm tired of seeing it. I've seen it 12 times. I didn't want salmon! I said it 4 times! Okay.
But I mean, like I said, like at the very, very beginning of this, like I enjoy the Frieza saga more as like an overall story that ties into Dragon Ball and everything. But this is probably my favorite saga to rewatch because, like I said, just the development between Piccolo and Vegeta and Gohan, and those are my 3 favorite characters, and those are the 3 main characters that get a lot of moments in this saga, so it just kind of makes me like it. It's pretty much wraps up to bias. So
yeah,
but yeah, I don't really see too much wrong with it other than our nitpicks about like Cell popping up when he popped up and not having enough time to dedicate to the android threat. Other than that, I really, really enjoyed the saga.
It was good.
It's good. It's good.
And then I believe it's be your turn.
Okay. Yeah, like, well, kind of like they said, I really like the Cell saga. And aside from doing things like Brian said, which was, you know, giving a lot of development to Gohan and Vegeta and Piccolo, it also gave us a bunch of cool new characters like Trunks and Cell, who is another resident of the Home for Infinite Losers. Or, you know. And then, yeah. And then we also had Mr. Satan come in, and King Kai somehow died, and I still don't understand how that works.
And he lost his home, so he just kind of hangs around everyone else's place.
Like, I didn't...
Kind of garden in GT, I don't know.
I didn't realize he could die. Whatever. Fuck it. And then the androids who were cool, even though one of them died and he was my friend, but the others are still there.
He's my friend. Kevin, please go on.
I am Gohan. But yeah, there was just a lot of cool stuff about the Cell saga. And it was a fun adventure to go on, you know? Lots of good times. Some bad times, too. Kami left us, but it was all good. It was all good.
It's all good.
It's good, bro.
That's good.
Yep.
Yep. Well,
that about does it. Unless any final anything final thingies? Is that your final answer thingies?
Not really. Okay.
So that wraps it up. Next week, Ramble Time again. And then we will be coming back in 2 weeks with the finale of Dragon Ball Z portion, talking about everything that involves Boo.
Boo.
From Great Saiyaman through Kid Buu Saga.
Boo hungry!
Yep. Yeah. So now, is it... Oh, time for the jingle. Ready? No, just breathing.
Twitter question. Okay, jingle. I'm ready.
Good. Time for the jingle. The jingle is just Brian laughing now. Try again. Time for the jingle.
Twitter question of the week.
Spit takes.
That was the dumbest thing I think I've heard today.
I love it. It gives us character.
Yes. So, we have a nice little gang of questions here.
Gang.
Gang.
Well, that's cool. I love gangs.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions. We're just going to go ahead and read them all because why not? So... Our first question is from, I think Lawrence 2. I always read it as Lawrence Cell because it looks like L's to me. But I think it's a 2. But anyway, do you think an adaption of Ben 10 would do well in Japan?
I do. They like Transforming Heroes.
And they have it over there, right?
I feel like they do. Why wouldn't they?
Because I see the... like the repackaged figures on HLJ sales.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, they could just dub it.
I don't know, like, where they're at over there, whether they're remotely caught up to us or not, but they do have it over there. But as far as, like, an adaption, like, basically, like, an anime version of Ben 10 or something, I think they'd eat it up.
I think it would be cool if it done well on, like, those shitty Marvel animes that are going around. Those are pretty bad. The Wolverine got scathing reviews. But I think it'd be pretty funny live action. Nozomu for Ben 10.
Heck yeah.
No, Osamu. Fuck yes, Osamu for Ben 10. Osamu 10. I'd buy that.
But I think that show has a lot of potential over there. If it isn't doing well, I think that it could do well if they market it right. But I think that if they were to do their own take on it, be it as a sort of copy show or just as a Japanese version of Ben 10, I think it'd do really well over there.
Yeah, me too. I'd actually like to see it. Like, it'd be cool if they did come out with, like, some kind of anime or something.
Like, I mean, I know it's kind of a really bad example because a lot of it was for comedic stuff, but, I mean, they had that Powerpuff Girls remake over there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I remember that.
Powerpuff Girls Z?
Yeah. GT? No, I'm kidding.
I was like, wait, what? We watched some episodes in Japanese class one time. That was crazy.
Fun times.
But, yeah, I think it would do really, really well over there.
Because it's just perfect with their, like, Henshin Heroes concept they love over there. Yeah. And they like awesome stuff like Dragon Knight and SPD.
Yeah. They like American things.
They eat that shit up.
They're like, nom 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 nom. Anyway. Our next question is from KidFlashDBN. What three toku series should a new toku fan watch?
Ghost Ager, Forze, and Operation Overdrive. Those are my top three. Someone else take it first, then. I took the first joke.
I can just imagine someone watching those ones first.
Like, they just hear that me say that before I say it was a joke and hang up the podcast and just go watch
it. Their entire view of all toku is skewed. Okay. So, I think everyone should watch Double. Obviously.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to start with a more recent writer show, definitely start with Double. If you want something that's a little bit more deep, then watch, like, Kuga or Agito.
I recommend Kuga and Agito as a set. Even though it's only mentioned in the first five episodes, really, it just kind of sets up the general idea of why G3 exists. Yeah, like, the general feel of the world.
Yeah.
And I just felt more into it because of it.
But, I mean, going for strictly things that have happened in the last 5 years or so, I would definitely say Double. Shinkenger's a decent show to start with. I would say Geki.
Yeah, Geki's
because I like Geki.
Another one that's really good is Magi.
Yeah.
That's Geki one of the most...
Awesome. Both of those shows are really easy to watch.
Magi's one of the most well-thought-out I've ever seen. Like, it has a... There's no, like, random stuff. From beginning to end, they had a story planned.
Yeah. And for PR, it just kind of goes anywhere, really. I mean, definitely RPM, of course, but PR's kind of got, like, a history here, so it's hard to just throw a dart and recommend something, whereas if you're trying to get someone that, like, only watched PR or really isn't familiar with toku, it's easier to just pick a random writer or sentai show and just start them out with it.
Because they take place in different universes. Like, my favorite, Space, but it's hard to recommend that because it means so much more if you've seen the first shitty series that came before it.
Yeah.
So, like, I recommend MMPR just because you have to watch it in order to appreciate how good it gets.
But, yeah, I would say,
I think a good, like, fun PR to recommend is, like, Ninja Storm.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Ninja Storm is very fun.
And also, like, another good sort of standalone Saban Arab one would be Time Force. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But PR is so different, though, because it's so much more connected than Rider and Sentai is.
Right.
I'm surprised...
No, I was going to say, I hope that answers the question decently.
I was going to say, I'm surprised Brian hasn't said Garo yet.
Well, the thing about Garo is that if you start a person on Garo, you get addicted to Garo, and then you can't stop. No. That's a really flawed view of what toku is. It's a great toku, and just the depth within the show is one of the reasons why I really, really like it. But if you were to just sit someone down who's never seen Toku and then have them watch Garo and say, yeah, this is Tokusatsu, and then have them go watch Forze or something, then, like, they're such polar opposites of each other. Forze's a bright, colorful, fun time. And here's Garo, where everything is dark, and there's boobs and blood everywhere.
And they talk to people in rings.
So there's just such polar opposites that if you were to start someone new with Garo, that I think their kind of outlook on Tokusatsu as a whole would be kind of skewed to where they wouldn't really enjoy certain things. Of course, I could be entirely wrong. That's entirely a psychological thing. It's really up to the person.
See, but that kind of brings up a point that I don't want to say it pisses me off, but it like annoys me slightly about new Toku fans usually watch recently something like start with Forze or O's or something, and they assume every Kamen Rider series is kind of like I said, really bright and shiny and silly.
Yeah.
And then like we'll go back and watch them, but it's boring. This is gay. Kamen Rider starts with double for me, ended with double for us. Remember?
Yeah.
Then we bought all O's ever, but like. It just kind of annoys me sometimes that, like, it gives people that impression.
Yeah, well, I understand. Just because these franchises have such depth of history that it's really hard to pinpoint certain shows that people, like, should watch right off the bat. Because, honestly, your first show, whether you think it does or not, it really does influence how you feel about any other show you watch after the fact.
Yeah,
because really that sets your standard. And so you can go back to really good shows, but if they don't meet that standard despite being a good show, you'll still consider it more flawed than someone who started with that show or started with a completely different show.
Which is why it's hard to tell someone, hey, go watch Geki Ranger first or go watch Double. Because then when you start watching some of the other shows, they just look like utter crap.
Yeah, like, yeah. Nothing's topped Geki for me.
Nothing's topped Geki for me just because I like that entire scenario, but that's for a different conversation.
That's a different time, yeah. Probably years from now after we get through OLTO and Guiding Light or whatever it is. What's the one that Def watches? Days of Our Lives, that one. It'll take 25 years.
But yeah, like, like Geki's entire, like, feel is why I actually like Jungle Fury compared to most of the people.
Yeah.
But anyway. So hopefully that answers the question, even though we never really directly answered the question. Hyper1270 asks, what is your favorite Kamen Rider weapon?
Oh god, I was thinking about this last night and I fell asleep.
I was thinking about this and decided to stop thinking about it.
I like the uniqueness of Hibiki's drumsticks.
Yeah.
Because you can play Rock Band with them.
Everything Hibiki's pretty unique, although Brian will probably go Guru Saber because it's Kenji Matsuda.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I was going through all the weapons in my head. I was like, Brian's going to pick that because...
I would love a one-to-one skill Guru Saber.
That would be pretty badass.
Just because that... I really do like that weapon design. And even though it's like the Masturbate Sword, I do like the Zombat Sword design too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The Zombat Sword's pretty cool. I kind of like the Hyper Zector. The Perfect Zector.
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
I was almost thinking, like, as much as... I almost like the Metagaburiu the best, just because it looks the most badass, and it has it's a badass axe and like a badass bazooka.
Yeah.
And like, that's pretty cool.
I thought that was pretty... Like, I was going through all of them. I'm like, well, I like these other shows better, but that's a pretty badass weapon. I mean, come on.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, I'd go with the Guru Saber.
I knew it.
Well, the Bird Plus is the blue's pretty. It is pretty blue.
I like swords, I like wolves, and I like Kenji. So that's four things I like.
Automatic win.
The Breath Buster is really pretty cool because you have infinite ammo because it's basically powered by desire since that's what cell metals are. And
oh man, that was deep.
I know, right?
That's deep. wow. Sorry, people here.
Actually, wait, my favorite is the pen switch and peeing switch and the hand switch.
The Awesome's favorite weapon's the Metajalibur because it comes with every figure ever.
Oh, fuck my life.
I still have that if you want it, Dawson.
No. Please get it away from me. Get my face again.
I'm going to skip over Delic's question because I want to answer that one last. So, Sparks391 asks, other than the Sonozaku fan... I said that last night when I read it too. Sonozaki. I apparently have Gundams on the mind or something. Including Nasuka, and I'm going to retcon the question and say including Utopia.
Fuck you and fuck your mother.
Who's your favorite dopant from Kamen Devil and why?
Invisible. Because that's the only one I can remember what it looks like. I was racking my brain last night, and I couldn't remember what any of them looked like.
She was hot. I would have to go with...
Heat, because she was hot. I honestly can't remember what most of them look like. I erase all Monster of the Weeks from my head.
I like Weather and his cool abilities. He had, like, different things. Like, he had...
looked at too many flashcards.
Freeze ray and wind and rain. Like, he didn't just have, like, I am Ice Age. I can, like, make ice skates and skate around on them. Or I'm whatever dopant. I have one ability. He had, like, multiple. That was cool.
That was cool.
Fuck, I don't know. Why did you have to take Utopia away from me, Brian? That was just mean. So, any other than all the memorable dopants, what's your favorite?
Luna.
Luna.
Because he's so fabulous.
We all know that excites Brian.
Heck yeah.
The Joker dopant?
Yeah. I would have to go with the T2 dopants just because I felt like they had the most coherent designs.
They were pretty cool.
Hopper wasn't that bad. Yesterday had a really original design, I think.
Gene was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Gene had a little, like, pear penis head.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wasn't it? Like, just going through the list of the dopants that were in the show, none of them were really all that amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because all of the good designs went to the Sonozakis, Weather, and the T2s, so... yeah, I'm going to go with Invisible.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that. I'm going with the ones I can remember.
Triceratops was cool.
Yeah, it was.
If I had to pick one from the show, I'd pick Triceratops just because it was a big purple Triceratops.
And it was Jasmine and Jasmine Waspidus.
Jasmine what? Triceratops. Yeah. Someone going to tell her that's not a real dinosaur anymore? Who are we to say?
Arms was pretty cool.
Arms. Well, yeah, when that one Abba Red, of course it was cool.
Money.
Wait, that's my favorite. No, Sweets. Favorite dopant. I forgot
Monet.
What that
is. Sweet.
Monet. Put the memory in, it just turns into Monet from Ghost Ager. Now let's just have a moment of silence. Just to soak everything in.
No, I was just reading something.
I know.
All right, so thumbs up.
Comment, subscribe.
Oh. All right, so Delic's question is, if you were chosen to produce a sequel series or movie to Kamen Rider Double, would you create a new rider or use the Cyclone Joker suit again? What other ideas or thoughts would you incorporate into it? So...
Kamen Rider Joker begins.
Not doing the obvious route. If they were to do something, being forced into something like New Deno, into carrying on the series, like, cast and feeling, but put into a new rider, if it was Shoto and Philip, I would want the Cyclone Joker suit back, of course. But if you had to push either two new people, one new person, regardless of how this was set up in general, if you were to have anyone else in the role as a new Kamen Rider Devil, I'd want an entirely new suit using entirely different memories.
That'd be pretty cool.
I would want Sarui to step in and just do Cyclone Axel and have Cyclone Axel Extreme so there's a reason to actually own the figure.
Yeah, no.
Like, there's the obvious, like, Kamen Rider Joker series, which, like, I know not to go too much into it, but that would be pretty cool to see. I always thought that the T2 Memories was a great storyline for a potential second season.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other, like, one is that I think a whole season could be built around the upgrade and just getting upgraded versions of all the dopants we've seen.
Yeah.
Because that's an easy way to save money.
Money.
And, like, I don't have any too concrete ideas about it, but like I said, I'd like to see that, and I wouldn't mind seeing a potential third rider to mix things up of some sort. Maybe just get rid of Axel and get someone cool in there. He was,
like,
cool in the
movie. Really, it all depends on how long this supposed series takes place from the actual show.
Yeah.
If it's within about 5 years or so, I wouldn't say it's too far of a stretch to have a majority of the original cast back. To go a completely different route, I think a story involving Shotaro's apprentice would be a fun route to take.
That would
if
be.
You wanted to do an entirely new story with new characters set in the same universe.
He could be old Shotaro again. Like Batman Beyond, except double.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Double
Holy
Beyond.
Shit. Mind hole blown.
Well, double used Batman, like, movie terms throughout that entire show, so yes. Double Beyond would totally work.
That would be awesome.
Philip is still 17.
He would be, too. We'd have to find a new person to be Shotaro. I'll just get Koji Kagawa back. And he can be new Shotaro.
So actually, I think of a really fun discussion to have is what would sequel series be like for almost every writer, except for Tenno, because we already know what happens there.
Yeah. But yeah, if there was to be a new double, I would prefer a new batch of memories, regardless of how the story plays out to why they exist. I mean, from the Megamax movie, we know Foundation X is still floating around doing God knows what.
See, that's another thing is that there's a chance it could, but I think it's a small chance that Megamax could end up being what I dreamed of the tie-ins being. But I would have liked to seen Double and O's have an awesome movie that tied the Foundation X story into both of their stories really well.
Yeah, like it was
that's
supposed
what
to.
I would. Yeah, that's what I would have liked to seen. Like, that cliffhanger, or not cliffhanger, that scene where they're looking at the O-Metals on their thing really left me hoping for something awesome. That's what I would have liked to seen.
Yeah.
I still would like to see, even though they would be simplistic, Kamen Rider versions of each of the individual memories, like Kamen Rider Cyclone or Metal.
Cyclone.
Also that, or like Kamen Rider Fang. I think I still want to see that because it would just look awesome.
That'd be pretty. Kamen Rider Skull? Oh, wait.
Philip with a Lost Driver being Kamen Rider Fang for something would be pretty neat. Like you
yeah.
So there's lots of possibilities, and I honestly hope we see something like that at some point, just because it's not even just the giant double fanboy in me, but I just think that universe has so much to offer.
That's kind of like Deno. Is this the reason? Is they had a huge like potential for that universe. That's why they did it.
Yeah.
Other than the popularity. But I mean, Deno, when I was watching, I was thinking, this is like a huge universe they created. With possibilities. Yeah. And Double has that potential, too. Even more so.
Yeah. Like, I'd want to say that O's has that potential, too, but just the way that they ended O's...
Yeah, it was so final.
There really wasn't too much that they could expand on that, but... I mean, the way that Double ended, we've seen that Gaia memories are still being circulated in some way or another. New organizations are going to pop up trying to harness their power. So it ended in a way that the story is finished... But the universe isn't finished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike things like Kabuto and stuff, where the endings were pretty finite.
Or Fives where it just didn't end.
that too.
Like, a transfer to construction, bitch. That's what you get for trying to transfer everyone to investigations. That's another idea. Just bring Hojo in, and then he can get Shotaro transferred to investigations. He's like, wait, that's what I do, though. Yeah, you're transferred to investigation, taking over the double system. And then I'm going to jump out of it when I get scared. Stupid Hojo.
Or it can be like Ryuki and we just set a reset button.
Everyone goes back to the beginning.
That will never happen.
Or Hibiki and then like Philip can become a doctor.
A virtual doctor.
Virtual reality
doctors.
Dr. Troopers.
ideas there.
Right.
Someone could get the Eternal Belt, since it's not being used. Or the Eternal Driver. Memory.
Well, that's the Eternal Memory, yeah. The
Eternal that's too many driver. Terms. Eternal Metal. Switch. Damn it! Key. Fuck! That's a good question.
Yeah, questions like that are really fun.
I just want to talk about what all the sequel series the writers would be like. Agito would just be about Agito being awesome.
Ryuki would just be the show all over again.
Yeah. The third part, one more time.
Third time's a charm, let's try this again.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, good times all around. So, we've obviously just kind of figured out that we can handle like 5 to 6 questions a week, no problem. So, we had 5 this week, so keep them coming in. I really like just the way that you guys are asking these questions. They're actually really, really good and creative questions, yeah. So thanks to everyone that's participated so far. One thing I do want to say is that next time we do this, which will be next week, obviously, so keep sending in the questions this week, use hashtag RRR podcast question just to make it not the same as all the other hashtags that are going to be hashtag podcast question, because that's so generic.
Yeah.
So, add official RRR for our mention, and then hashtag RRR podcast question. I monitor that feed, so if for some reason the hashtag fucks up and it's like not there or something,
or you forget an R, we know what you mean.
I still notice that it's a question and I write it down. So
even if you put Red Ribbon Army podcast question, we know what you mean.
So, I mean, it's not a massive requirement, but it helps me monitor everything if the hashtag's there. So.
Helps. No hashtag what the fuck. That should just be the hashtag for our question. Just leave it at hashtag what the fuck. No, don't do that.
No, please don't.
Sorry. Call it to me.
All right, so thanks for everyone that's participating, and we hope to see some really awesome questions for next week, too.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, bye-bye.
So now it is time for...
Final
Things!
Once again, what we just said.
I've got a thingy, it's not final.
And that.
Yeah, well, pretty much we've said throughout this podcast, join us next week for Ramble Time, which will be most of us just babbling about the Chuck finale.
Yeah, by babbling, I mean crying.
So sad.
I could barely make it through the cast interviews, for God's sake. But yeah, and then also don't forget to keep a lookout for the second edition of the Facebook question.
Yep, and of course the Twitter question of the week. And
yes,
even though there's more than one question, I don't feel like amending the song to be questions.
No, that would be like...
I didn't even amend the song to be Twitter instead of Tweeter, so...
Oh, good times.
Dedicated. So, yeah, it was a... fun time here. One thing that I do want to mention real quick is that
happy birthday, Janice, who works in our office.
She's the secretary.
Yeah.
Salaryman for his school project had to do a radio play. Guy Kurozo is what he titled it after the main character. And a lot of the R staff was involved in the voice acting for his little radio drama. And it actually turned out really good. So if you haven't yet, please check that out. Because it's technically a quasi-RR production. So that's on our front page somewhere or another. So.
And there's a thread about it in the RAM boards. And you can leave your feedback for Salaryman because he wants feedback.
Yes. We want feedback too. For our thing. But
which is this?
Yes.
The podcast thread. Don't go leaving comments about the podcast in that other thread.
Yeah, please don't do that.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hello and welcome to our season 2 episode
13. Yes, Gary.
Yes, Gary. That's the title. Yes, Gary.
Uh, Oh, crap.
Oh, boy, this is going to be exciting.
Blooper reel. Okay.
Blooper reel. Brian, you know what number this is, right?
Mm-hmm. 30-something.
30-something? Is that what you
37.
Said? 37. Oh, sorry. You need to get rude.
Thumbs up. Hey, how about you turn the Mario Kart off?
How about you go die in a hole?
Or at least down. I don't want to hear it.
Dude, it's already almost down. You just suck at life.
You don't need sound. Just...
Oh my god.
Kevin's offended deeply.
Deeply offended. Deeply. Hello, welcome to our Season 2, Episode 37.
Gintaro's whole wank off? I was lacking in content this week, okay? The creative juices weren't flowing. I didn't have enough lubricant.
Oh,
that
God.
Was too much, and I apologize. That was too much in the first 5 minutes. But that pretty much summarized what's going to happen for the rest of the podcast.
We're going to get lubricated?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Go on. Good, good. Such. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Every single little kid in that chat is now an enemy of awe.
Oh, wow.
I thought it'd be funny.
That's offensive.
So
good job, racist one.
Sorry, Indian pop. Part already. Oh, no, wait, we have to do that part again.
Do it again.
Oh.
Hello, welcome to RR's.
I need to get my headset, Brian.
Oh.
I can't wait till season 3 when we go or.
Wait, why did we become seals? What?
We did it 3 weeks ago. Maybe 4?
Yeah, I think 4.
3 sounds too soon.
I gotta get my Mobirus. Wait, I got my
Mobirus. I'm gonna get my Mobirus.
You said Mobirus like 4 times?
Here's my Mobirus. I found my Mobirus, Brian. I got the Mobirus. Girl, I got a Gokai change.
Spider-Man Unlimited.
Alright, I'm ready, Brian.
Ooh, White Chicks is on.
Alright, we all know Dawson's a homosexual. Ooh, Doug's on. Shut up.
Brian stopped his own self.
Hello, welcome to
Crank
our...
Crank it.
It's cranking?
Yeah, it makes like a little motory, kind of geary sound.
Oh, like game?
No, when you crank those little lantern things.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
That's Brian cranking his vibrator.
It's really obnoxious.
Tales from Brian's house in the dark.
Read something I really shouldn't have read.
Did you read a truck spoiler? Don't tell me.
No, it's on. I'm on AllSpark.
Oh.
Lol.
Anyway.
Like, not like the time device. Anyway.
Damn it, Fies.
Anyway, like...
Oh God.
Damn it, Kevin. Damn it, everyone. Can you please fix
damn
that?
Damn it, Liambo.
Can you please... Kevin.
What?
Can you please fix
what?
Yourself? Thank you. Okay,